thinks about it, you know.
And this is the new Smash Brothers?
Yeah, for yeah. DDS.
Not to interrupt, and I apologize for interrupting, but were we going to be starting the show anytime soon?
Yes, I'm actually about to hit the record button right now, so here we go, guys.
I'll now throw to second base, and Mays is back in, and that.
I don't know. Seems that way. Cobra. Cobra. Cobra.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love it. Every time I hear it, I love it.
I would have, but it broke out, like, cut out, like, halfway through.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But for a while there, it's just Dak and I, like, are we still part of this show?
Oh, yeah, I think because he had pressed mute on the Skype, and it didn't. It didn't work out right, but it's all right. We got you back. You're live.
Yes.
We are live. So, once again, Eddie's not so much of a special guest anymore, but we have Mr. Edward Varnell of Optional Opinion.
He's still our special Ed.
Special Ed, right there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Critical Hit Anomalous here on the Anomalous Radio Network. We have your host, Justin Villarreal. Coming in from Man Cave Studios.
Yes, you're joining us as well.
I consider myself as a special guest here in this place. My name is Eddie V. I am host of Optional Opinion that records on Mondays and Wednesdays. Thank you guys for having me once again.
Oh, you didn't even introduce John or Dak. Come on.
Well, they have to introduce themselves.
You introduced me.
We have the lovely John O'Hagan.
You see, we bring Special Ed onto the show, and he's already trying to get me and Dak off the show.
No, I'm not. And we have...
No, I'm not.
He's like, I'm done with these guys.
Oh, God, I just farted. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord, we didn't need to know
that. You're
going
to be fine.
And we also have Mr. Dak Nomad.
Greetings.
He's from another planet.
How's everybody doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a busy weekend, a busy week for the most part. As you know, I've been working on my carpets, along with trying to deal with all this network stuff and website stuff and stuff like that, which we'll end up talking about later on. But for the most part, it's just been one of those busiest weeks. But it's been great because Friday night, if you're tuning into the show or at least following our links as we promote them throughout the week or whatnot, you may just catch us do a live show as either a post show to the Think Tank if it pops up, or Friday night as we had Bad Bot Radio, which is actually
a
Casey Burch.
A new name.
Well, no, a new show actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
Bad Bot.
Originally, he was like, what, DJ Labs?
Yeah, he may go back to
DJ Wave Stage.
And Signal Fury, but he may go back to Signal Fury. But that is KCB for all you people who have been tuning in and digging his wonderful stuff on the Good Vibes Playlist Project, which has been picking up some steam on the old SoundClouds and so on. So that's pretty cool, you know, for the most part. He's actually getting some hits out there. So he did a live set to, which his new show is Bad Bot Radio, which is more electronic dance and stuff like that. So if you're really into that, he's doing a 30-minute spot, and just doing, right now it was just live, you know, just sporadic Lifetime thing. We're not going to record them, but he will record an official Bad Bot 2, and he'll polish it off and make it look nice and everything, and then you'll be able to download it and and check it out.
Which smell like flowers.
Smell like potpourri of flowers.
Which actually works because a lot of dance music on Fridays around, like, even if you hear the archive, 5 o'clock back in the 90s, B96 here in Chicago, they will always do a traffic house mix.
Yeah, late at night.
On Fridays. So if you want to get your good, you know, good juke on at 9 or 10 o'clock whenever he does it on Friday night, I say tune in. I was kind of in the chair just like, oh, this is my cut. Yay. I don't know the song, but I like this.
Yeah, no, John and I and you, Ed, you know, who actually, you know, we all take the time to listen to each other's shows. We don't listen to, or at least me and John personally, we've said it before, we don't listen to the music that he puts on the Good Vibes playlist. But listening to his cut of it, basically his produced version of that show, I really dig the songs. I really dig what he does with it. It's a very uplifting. Cuts it in with movie quotes. So if you listen to it, you not only listen to songs, but you'll listen to funny movie quotes from movies, various movies. But at the same time, it's just, you know, overall stuff that I listen to while I'm cleaning. Sometimes I just put it on while I'm working outside in the garden or cutting grass or even working on the website or, you know, whatever it may be. I just flip on the old Good Vibes Playlist project, which is like 20 episodes now since he started. He was kind of doing it like weekly, but he went down to bi-weekly now. So we're going to hear both the shows. I don't know if he's alternating them, but we'll for sure hear a show at least every other week. So, and other than that, you may tune in live every Friday night. So we're not sure how it's going to totally work out. There's some ideas, though, but we may do another live set next Friday or the Friday after. So keep in tune to that. So check that out. You can always find the links, of course, when you follow us on the Twitters and the Facebooks. Well, follow me, Justin Villarreal, and we'll throw out the rest of the tags later on. But it's really cool. It's really cool that Ed came in and we were working on his setup. And it was really cool to kind of have the dynamic we had with Ed, to be honest with you. Casey even said, he gives me good feedback, to be honest. I like when I listen to Casey's feedback about things, I really pay attention because he's the people we want to catch in a sense. You know, he's very fast paced, short attention span at times, which, you know, Ed and John got to see a little bit. You kind of got to keep him entertained. But he really enjoyed the dynamic of episode 58, which was all of us. He's like, dude, that was a great show. Then he listened to the other shows or the other episodes, and he's like, oh, you could tell there was a difference. And I was like, yeah. He's like, man, that was really cool overall what we had going on there. So I was like, yeah, I got to admit. So he really liked how we did that and what we've been doing with the in-studio type of stuff lately. You know, for the most part, you know, just overall, just, you know, even hearing his aspect on things, you know, it's just like, yeah, all right, we could probably, you know, give that a try or whatnot. And he really likes the roundtable discussion that we have, kind of like that it is an open discussion, you know, about things. And that he was here too, so it kind of changes the dynamic as well, you know.
Right.
But he may start coming in more. And talking about TV shows that he catches up on that he really likes. And I told him, hey, man, why not? We talk about our TV shows. We're kind of, you know, limiting ourselves because we only talk about the things that we watch. You know, if you got something you watch, I kind of try to catch up with what he has. I'm like, why not bring him on? You know, even like Ed here, you know, he's telling, well, John does it too. But you talk about the comic book animated series, you know, both you and John do that. I don't know nothing about them unless you guys do it. And I hear you guys talk about like a bunch of schoolgirls going back and forth. You know?
There's a lot of stuff that I don't know about that, when you and Dak talk on Z-Talk Radio about the paranormal.
Well, thank you for that.
Like I tell you guys, I'm like, this is very educational to me.
That's why we like that actual show.
I know nothing about this, but hearing you guys, like, as professional experts of this.
Hey, we're not professional.
And I'm going to tell you why
experts.
You know why I call you guys professional experts in my opinion? It's because you know more of this and you know the ins and outs. And when you do it for a good while and things like that, even regardless if you don't think that you're experts or anything like that, I believe just like you guys could do stuff on this pinpoint as professionals.
The only reason I make it a clear distinction that we're not experts is because the paranormal is a completely theoretical field with no empirical evidence one way or another.
Uh-huh.
So there can be no experts in the theoretical field.
Correct. But
we're taking it as a high title, then. That's high praise. You better take this praise, boy! You better take it.
Thank you, Ed. No, I really appreciate that. I still agree with Dak, but it's nice to hear that feedback, actually, from people who listen to it. Because, believe it or not, when we do have, you know, some good shows, and you know, we promote it and such and all that, and we get people tuning in. We'll pull in just our last episode that we did, where we were talking about. We were talking about confirmation bias and a few other, you know, I guess psychological type of experiences.
Right.
We had about like 8 people who tuned in just that episode alone. Not luckily, but they turn in later on about 9:30 towards the end, which always seems to happen. Everyone seems to tune in later. But they tune in a little later, but we ended up picking up a lot more as the show went on, and people stayed in and totally dug it, you know. And then we had you come in and kind of talk about some of the, no, not really come in, but, you know, just some of the things, and, you know, it was good, and that's what we look forward to when we do the show. So I thank you. Thank you.
Well, everybody, we got some hot movie news to start off.
Not even movie news. This is our first show of October. Scary Rocktober. October. Scary time. Halloween's coming up.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And to actually start this crazy mess off today.
Even though it goes into November 3rd and different belief systems.
Right. To start off today, Marvel is talking with Joaquin Phoenix about playing Doctor Strange.
That's some scary news.
And this is coming from IGN. Marvel Studios has reportedly stopped talks with Oscar nominee Joaquin Phoenix about playing the title role in Doctor Strange. The Gladiator and Her star was first linked with the role back during San Diego Comic-Con. He states, he never had a deal, but Marvel was already getting into it with other actors to play that superhero in a freestanding film, according to Deadline. Don't believe these talks that Boyhood's Ethan Hawke has made a deal to play the character. I'm told reliably that this is speculation run wild. There was a recent report that Phoenix was uncomfortable not just with the level of contractual commitment Marvel was asking for, but with the very nature of how such visual effects heavy movies are made. No word yet on whether Marvel will go back to the actors reportedly originally on their wish list to play the Sorcerer Supreme, namely Tom Hardy, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Jared Leto. Which Joaquin Phoenix is starring in a new movie. There was like a 70s crime movie, and they said that he's really good in that, but I haven't seen no trailer or for it.
Yeah, I'm not sure of anything about any of his new projects, but at least that's good news for me, because I didn't really feel like he would be a Doctor Strange on the good old silver screen. So I'm happy about that, at least.
Come on, Dad, carry up and play your celebration song, because I know you got a lot to say about this.
No, I need to borrow the soapbox for a second here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. The way that read is that Marvel had ended the talks with Joaquin Phoenix, but I'm fairly certain it's the other way around. This guy is an aloof asshat. Not only would he be unable to commit to a multi-picture deal like they would have to ask, but can you imagine this guy trying to do press for this thing?
Yeah.
Can you imagine Joaquin Phoenix walking into Comic-Con and being taken seriously?
Yeah, and watch him do some weird, like, weird Joaquin Phoenix stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, just mumbling about and such. Plus the fact that another aspect that was glazed upon I want to address it is his possible apprehension towards effects-heavy films. Fact of the matter is, this guy can barely play off of live people. What makes anyone think he would be able to do a damn thing in front of a green screen?
Yeah, Yeah.
Which, just think of him trying to get his body in shape to even portray him.
Well,
I think he's fairly, I mean, he's got muscles, and Doctor Strange is not necessarily one to be someone who's body shape.
Physicality isn't a serious issue with Doctor Strange, yeah. But well, my issue has always been with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Before this announcement was made, I was still trying to give the boy a fighting chance, because if I have to watch him playing Doctor Strange, I have to at least be able to accept that.
Yes.
So here I was going back into his library, trying to find something that might not suck. Can't do it. I suffered through the entire runtime of Inventing the Abbots. And I gotta say, for that flick, first off, that's a horrible flick. Sorry for anybody that likes that movie, but the narration is choppy at best. The storytelling is abysmal. There's only a couple of standout performances in it, and none of it is from the actual leads in the movie. It's just a horrendous movie. And his performance was every bit the crap fest that... It was basically just like the character he played in Signs, which was just like the character he played in, that's the whole list. I mean, so I couldn't be more ecstatic that he's not playing Doctor Strange. I couldn't be happier. Okay, crinkle over me.
All right, John, any thoughts from you?
Nope.
Well, then we're just going to
I'm not done here.
Oh, he's not done.
I'm done with Joaquin Phoenix. Now we have to go into who's going to be playing the role yet again.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the short list that was already applied, Jared Leto, Benedict Cumberbatch, and Tom Hardy, Jared Leto's the only one that I think would be a decent choice there. I like Tom Hardy a lot. That dude has massive acting chops, but he's also in a lot of things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan O'Halloran.
As Doctor Strange?
Yeah, that's what I say.
Because I don't know who that is. Give us an example.
Clerks. I'm not Clerks. Supposed to be here today.
Not even supposed to be here today.
Which Clerks 3 did get funded because of Tusk.
Yeah.
Making being a financial success,
which was a good movie.
Benedict Cumberbatch is one of those names that's on everybody's short list for everything, and I like the guy. He's a solid actor, but again, he's in everything. He's got so many projects in the works. There's no way he's going to be able to set aside all of his other successes and all of his other, you know, time constraints to play Doctor Strange. So as far as I'm concerned, he's out.
He's actually doing a stage play that you can see through one of the Phantom events. He's doing Frankenstein.
Oh, wow.
They showed a trailer for it when I went to the movies yesterday.
Plus, he looks too young for me as a doctor. You know, I want to get him more.
That's not much of an issue. I mean, you know, with a little bit of makeup and effects, that can be taken care of.
I don't know. He's got those eyes, that face.
Doctor Who.
I want to give him a kiss half the time, you know? I want to give him a kiss. Sherlock, you're going to get a kiss from me with those wonderful eyes of yours. Anyways.
Anything else, Dad?
Well, you know, the other possible actors that could play this role. I mean, there's a slew of other very talented actors that I think would be a much better fit than, say, Tom Hardy or Benedict Cumberbatch. Now, again, Jared Leto is on that list, and that one, if that were to be announced, I could accept that. Ethan Hawke, I could even say, yeah, I can go with that. But, honestly, I think Viggo Mortensen would be a fantastic choice. I think Mads Mikkelsen would be a great choice. And, yeah, Brian O'Halloran would not be a bad choice either. I mean, very unconventional choice, but I think that would be a solid choice.
Well, if they're already going Joaquin Phoenix, you know, I didn't see it. I don't think a lot of people saw it. So
no.
I don't think it was really a disappointment. Well,
a lot of the Kool-Aid drinkers were behind it, but that's just because they're such big fans of his, and, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, that's my opinion.
Yes. Doctor Strange can sing Walk the Line. That's what we need.
Yeah. It kind of goes back to way back when there were still rumors of Johnny Depp playing him.
Yeah.
And, you know, our stance on that was too strange for Strange. Joaquin, way too strange for Strange. Joaquin.
Tom Cruise as Doctor Strange.
Oh, wow. Now, that would be interesting.
Oh, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Really? You would go with Tom Cruise? I don't see it, for one, no.
Visually, I wouldn't see it, but something about his, I think his voice might fit.
I can see him as Ant-Man.
Do we really want Doctor Strange to stand 5'6"?
Yeah, and that too. But yeah, I see him as Ant-Man, though. I could see him as an Ant-Man for some reason.
Anything else, guys?
Ant-Man's already done.
I know, yeah, but I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah, you know who I can see playing Doctor Strange?
Ant-Man.
John O'Hagan.
Oh, Lord. I'm going to move I'm sorry, I got to move on to the next. After that, I got to move on to the next. Netflix boss Ted Sarandos explains Adam Sandler deal. After recently announcing that Adam Sandler will produce and star in 4 movies exclusively for Netflix,
wow.
The company's chief content officer, Ted Sarandos, explained the move to branch out into original movies and why they chose to team up with Sandler. Very uniquely, he stands out for his global appeal to Netflix subscribers, Sarandos told The Hollywood Reporter. Even movies that were soft in the U.S. theatrically outperformed dramatically on Netflix in the U.S. and around the world. He also went on to say that Sandler's movies are very, very repeatable, and Adam has always been a success straight through his last film, Blended. That movie cost about $40 million to make and made about $140 million around the world. Most people would kill for those results. It skewed about 60% international, which, by the way, is how most movies are skewing now. So it could be that Adam's just ahead of the curve. He made $3 billion in box office. He's kind of grown up with us, and people see themselves with him from when he was the city guy back in high school all the way to when he's the city dad today. It's remarkable to me that his movies carry as well as they do in Germany, throughout Latin America, and the UK. His box office is surprisingly international for U.S. comedy. Sarandos also explained that Sandler and his production company, Happy Madison, will be producing these films with Netflix, and they anticipate that all 4 of the films will be comedies. As of now, there is no timeline or release dates because Netflix has to navigate around some commitments around sequels that are already in existence. So it's hard to say exactly how long, but outside of Sandler's sequels and other commitments, it's 4 consecutive projects. These projects will skip theaters and instead make their way immediately to Netflix. Sarandos's motivation was to give audiences the product immediately and put it on as many screens as possible, bypassing the waiting period for a movie to come out on DVD or the delays in international release dates. Netflix will also be releasing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, The Green Legend online and in IMAX theaters. An IMAX theater simultaneously. Sarandos plans on creating 10 to 14 original movies a year.
Okay, what else you got? Next topic.
Well, no, this is actually worth talking about for a second. Because say what you feel about Sandler's comedy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm about to. It's juvenile comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
But that accounts for the international sales because, you know, the funny of somebody slipping on a banana peel is regardless of language.
Yeah, yeah.
So his idea of humor plays well across multiple markets. He's kind of a joke that's not very funny in the States, but he's doing just fine overseas. And, you know, regardless of how good or bad any of his movies are, the guy is a solid business head.
That is true.
And this is kind of a game-changing thing, if you think about it. Having an exclusive 4-picture deal with a streaming service.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, this is where a lot of things are heading. Because most of the theatrical releases now that get any real notice are, you know, the big one.
Yeah.
You know, the blockbusters, you know, all of that stuff. And most independent films or, you know, lesser rom-coms, things like that, tend to get shoved the wayside. So what this says to me is that this is where the future of film is going to be, where the theaters are basically going to be reserved to event films, and the vast majority of other films that are produced are going to be strictly for streaming.
And if you think about it, you know, why pay $11+ to go see a comedy that you might not like, compared to paying $8 for a service that if you don't like the movie, you can stop it and watch it somewhere, something else.
Yeah.
You know, you got a whole total package.
And the fact that you watched the first 10 minutes and said, this sucks, and turned it off, that still shows as a watch in their data.
Yeah.
Right.
This was kind of something I was somewhat arguing the last time. Remember we were talking about seeing movies?
Yeah.
And you were surprised that I don't go out and see movies more often. And personally, I feel kind of like how Dad said, I like going to the movies for the event, you know? No comedy really has an event for me. No drama really has some event. Like, oh, man, can you imagine the worldwide release of this thing? Comic book movies, action,
I'm gonna
sci-fi.
I'm going to disagree with you. Particularly with comedies, though.
Okay.
Because a lot, you know, most like midnight movies are going to be comedies. Because you have a fanship, you know, of everybody getting together as a community to just laugh.
Yeah, comedies can get a little bit more.
You know,
I'll
tell you right now, if this is the end we're playing at a midnight showing, you'd have a full theater of riotous laughter for the entire runtime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could probably equal that with watching The Room with the people who throw events like that. Even though it's supposed to be a serious movie, everybody would laugh at it because it's a bad, terrible movie and all these inconsistencies. So because I see it like this. A lot of movies now that are like bad B-movie, you know, stuff that we wouldn't care about, we could now watch and use that as comedy. Where some of the comedies that we watch now, it's just like, this is terrible. None of this stuff is funny.
I agree.
You know, and it's weird that it feels like a kind of change, because what kind of comedy this whole year that's really a real comedy has actually stood out?
22 Jump Street.
Oh yeah, that's for the most part. Yeah, I could say that. Which was also pretty funny for the second time around.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the first one or second. Well, because of actor reasons.
I also see 22 Jump Street as the action comedy, which goes into action movies, which goes into my event type movies too. You know,
that one's far more comedy than action.
Well, but yeah, of course, but there's still the act, you know,
I would consider as Guardians, even though that's an action packed movie, there's so much comedy in that movie.
Well, yeah, I consider that like a comedy, sci-fi, action adventure.
And it is just like they nail it on like almost on every point when it comes to like comedy and stuff. You know, when it's comedy, you mostly want to hear the dialogue, and then the reactions to it will make you laugh. Definitely for me, for Guardians, I was just like, this is craziness. And this, oh, that was just funny right there. Like when Bautista was, when they was in the meeting and Rocket said something or something, and Bautista was just like, I wasn't listening, or something like that. That was kind of funny to me, the way that that got played off. You know?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, a movie like that is made for the big screen. You know, 22 Jump Street is one of those that's kind of made for the big screen.
Yes, correct, yeah.
Right.
You know, something... I don't know, there's plenty of movies, you know, especially a lot of independents out there that could be enjoyed on the big screen just as much as on the small screen.
Mm-hmm.
And this new Netflix thing is kind of a harbinger of what's to come, where it's an avenue for more independents to get some level of distribution.
Yeah.
You know, and not just Adam Sandler movies, you know, actual, you know, decent independent films.
Yeah, we one of the movie projects we're working on, a guy saw the trailer and is like, hey, get me a full-length movie and we'll distribute it to Netflix and, you know, Amazon, which apparently is becoming a big streaming party as well. And it's what's happening. People are buying up these. How many times you go on Netflix and see even crappy movies that get sold and put on there?
Goodness.
You know, it's a great great platform, a great medium to get all of that out there. Independent artists to your favorite TV shows and those, you know, wonderful movies that you can't wait to see.
Well, with Netflix, like, Netflix is a TV studio. I mean, they changed the game in a lot of ways there already. And we see Hulu doing this now, too, where they have their own independent TV studio. Amazon is doing the same thing. And, you know, Netflix is they're ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
On
this.
And, you know, they were ahead of the game with the TV aspect of it. Now they're doing some amazing things with what's to come in film as well.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, Jah?
Nope.
Oh, well, if there's no thoughts, here's Tommy Wiseau.
You are lying. I nearly hit you. You are tearing me apart, Lisa.
And there, it's all you get.
That's more than I want.
Well, I'm going to move on to the next story. Gone Girl debuts atop the weekend box office. Gone Girl, director David Fincher's critically lauded adaptation of Gillian Flynn's bestseller, opened in first place at the domestic box office this weekend, debuting ahead of studio expectations with an estimated $38 million. It was Fincher's best opening weekend yet and starred Ben Affleck's third highest grossing opening behind Pearl Harbor, which made $59.1 million, and Daredevil, which made $40.3 million.
Speaking of Ben Affleck, has anyone seen anyone follow Up Rocks at all or anything like that?
I still have more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Running a very close second was the Conjuring prequel Annabelle with an estimated $37.2 million.
Forget
That's
Annabelle.
The highest grossing debut for a horror film in 2014. Both new releasing were just a shot in the arm that the stagnating box office needed. Left Behind met with a less than rapturous response from moviegoers, debuting in sixth place with an estimated $6.9
million. And let's just
take
a note that Left Behind, that Nicolas Cage just starting and are heavily pushing, and in the trailers you barely can tell, is a rebooted Christian franchise that they're trying to pass off as, you know, apocalyptic action movie. So in case you're wondering and you just happen to, what is that, or does that remind you of some movie almost 10 years ago or a series of movies, it is.
Yeah, it's a reboot of the Kurt Cameron vehicle from however many years ago.
Yeah, so
that stars Nicolas Cage, lowest grossing riot release opening since Drive Angry, Cage Stinker, The Wicker Man, Bangkok Dangerous, which was actually a good movie. I like Bangkok Dangerous.
I heard about that, yeah.
And Next, all performed better in their respective debuts. The weekend estimated by Rentrek is Gone Girl, $38 million, Annabelle, $37.2 million, The Equalizer, $19 million, Box Trolls, $12.4 million, The Maze Runner, $12 million, Left Behind, $6.9 million, This Is Where I Leave You at $4 million, Dolphin Tale 2, $3.5 million, which I got something to say about that.
Okay.
Guardians of the Galaxy, $3 million, and No Good Deed at $2.5 million. Reason I'm going to say a little bit about Dolphin's Tale 2, a lot of girls where I work at have been going consistently to go see that movie.
Wow. Well, I don't see it as like a you know, adolescent girl oriented movie.
For the last 2 weeks that I've been working on a Saturday, girls would be like, we're going to see a Dolphin's Tale 2. And they're going to the AMC, paying the money to go see that. And they're in every little girl is basically going almost every showing.
Wow.
I like the first one. I saw the first one. It's based on a true story.
Yeah.
Second of all, at least these people are actually honestly going and paying for this movie to see it, which does go to the for the research for the dolphin in the movie.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Well, compared to somebody who saw Guardians of the Galaxy but still never saw it, you know, he saw it, he dreamt about it.
I dreamt about it. envisioned in my sleep.
What are you talking about? I didn't call you. I didn't say anybody by name.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for not saying
so,
it.
So, I mean, if these little girls want to go see this movie and go see an inspirational story with Morgan Freeman, let them. At least they're enjoying it.
And Morgan Freeman's getting more money.
Right.
It's good to see him working.
He needs more money. I mean, you know, it's not like Lego movie.
I think he's got, actually, I think he has alimony payments, too. So that's probably what's his deal.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know.
Oh, man. Rich and married.
I do want to see the second one. I mean, like I said, the first one was really good. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you enjoyed dolphins and the movies like dolphins.
I like dolphins. I like dolphin movies and dolphins.
Swim with the dolphins.
Well,
I would like to swim with dolphins.
Oh Lord! The next
today rape you.
Oh Lord! I'm moving on to the next story.
Why do we have to go there? Because
it's true.
Consenting. I would be consenting, so it wouldn't even be that.
Thank you. I see that.
Okay.
Now, why do we got to go there?
Okay.
Well, because I'm going to go somewhere with this, because when I went to SeaWorld many years back, I got, you know, at SeaWorld, which is owned by Busch Gardens, you were able to get free beer. So I did propose to Shamu once, but it wasn't even really Shamu. So I
it's like his sister or something, right?
Well, it was whatever whale is there that they were saying was Shamu.
Yeah.
So I proposed, and when I got back, there was, I guess
a
I was turned
down.
A bucket
of fish waiting for you?
I wish. And this is actually a true story. I really got drunk enough, and I really did propose to Shamu.
Aww.
So, unfortunately, Shamu splashed water in my face, so I think that was a rejection.
It was like, no.
Even whales don't like me.
Courtship.
Not until you have a house and a job and a 401k, and then you got to come back. And that's Shamu's high class.
But Shamu makes the money. So, I mean, people pay to see
I'm
Shamu.
I'm moving on to the next story, because I'm just now envisioning a drunk John O'Hagan proposing to Shamu.
Hey, you know what would be really great? You look good with that black and that little white patch right there. Hey, how you doing? Are you waving to me? Hey, well. And I dropped out on a knee and everything. They called me out anyways. So it was a good time.
Next story. Nicholas D'Augusto will play Gotham's Harvey Dent. Nicholas D'Augusto has landed the role of Harvey Dent on Fox's Gotham series. Nicholas D'Augusto as Master of Sex Ethan Hawes. According to TV
Line.
You
say Master Sex?
Master of Sex.
Oh, wow.
It's a good show.
According to TV Line.
Oh, thank you, John.
D'Augusto will play a handsome, warm, and engaging version of the man who will become Two-Face, maintaining a cheerful disposition even when dealing with the city's riffraff. You might recognize Nicholas D'Augusto as Dr. Ethan Hawes on Masters of Sex, as well as for his recurring role in Heroes and The Office. His Gotham deal includes a series regular option for a potential second season. Gotham is a Batman-less Batman prequel series. And then you can check out the reviews for the pilot and other reviews here on IGN.
Masters of the Sexuverse. That's what I was thinking of, actually, when I heard that.
Well, Gotham will probably already get a second season, and that's just because, again, they got that Netflix money, going back to the Netflix topic you had brought up.
Can we go into Netflix. Gotham talking now?
Yeah, well, like with Gotham, Netflix paid like 2-point-some-odd million an episode for Gotham to stream exclusive on their not exclusively, but some kind of deal with them, so... Even if they suck on Fox, you know Netflix will give green light a second season.
Right.
But Gotham has not been disappointing so far.
Yeah, so far. My only cons, I would say, to drawbacks to the show is the shoehorning of these characters. And really Penguin. I don't like Penguin. I don't like who they chose as Penguin and their story they're pulling with Penguin. It just doesn't seem very Penguinish. I think after the show when we were talking about that.
It's too early to really say, though.
Well, yeah, and of course this is their adaption, so, who knows where they're going to go with that. But I don't know. It just doesn't, it throws me off as too corny when the other aspects of the show kind of keep me in. I'm more interested in the less Batman-y parts of Gotham. I enjoy Gotham as Gotham PD going against the crime families. But like, when you're throwing in Penguin and now being a foreshadowing to some, like, he's a prophet almost now.
Well,
I see things. I can tell you. It was just kind of like, really?
But I do like Detective Gordon. I love the actor that's
yeah,
playing
I him. Agree. I agree.
He's really, really good. The one thing I have a problem with Gotham and that I really want to kick whoever does Selina Kyle's wig. I really want to punch that person in the head.
She's going to be hot when she's 18.
She looks a terrible wreck with that hair. I'm like,
really?
Yes.
I thought it wasn't bad.
That looked like Patty on a bad day from Doug. I'm like, who put this wig on her? I'm just like, come on now. I've seen better wigs. Nicolas Cage got some better wigs than this girl in this TV show. I'm like, whoever did this needs to punch this person. Because I'm just like, this looks horrible. I'm not worried about the acting and stuff like that.
I like how the wig of Selina Kyle is more your...
Because, Jada Pinkett Smith is killing it.
She's good.
I'm loving her as a villain.
I don't mind it, actually. Yeah, I like it.
You know,
the plastic surgery, I'm sorry to bring up, is a little off-setting to me, but...
I don't see none.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, maybe I'm just a little too superficial.
I just get a kick out of the big... The only thing that Justin can say about Selina Kyle is to start going all the way back to when he was probably a youngster with the whole countdown with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Oh, can't wait till they turn 18.
Actually, the funny part was I was looking up Gotham and one of the reviews on YouTube. There was like a bunch of likes on this guy. It was like...
You know, every time I see Selina, the actress, like how they're portraying Selina Kyle,
mm-hmm.
when like I always think of the chick from The Crow. I don't know why, but the one girl from the first Crow movie who was like, "It's always raining." And
oh yeah,
it's kind of how I see them portraying her right now. I'm mm-hmm. just waiting for like Commissioner Gordon to sit her down, or to sit her down and be like, "Hey, don't worry, kid.
Oh,
it can't rain all the time."
And speaking of Gordon, all that. Everything's tied into, although you can say this, you know, as an argument or a debate for the Batman villains being basically spawned from Batman, everything's tied into the Wayne death, everything, from Selina Kyle to Penguin to Catwoman and who knows what else they're going to show. It's just like
how it is in the comic books, too.
Really, I mean, Selina Kyle saw Batman's parents
that,
die.
But the Wayne's death is really what
it is a huge impact. But no, they're so directly related. Like Poison Ivy, I'm sorry to spoil this for you people, but Poison Ivy is going to be related to Batman later on because 6 degrees before, they framed her father into Wayne's death. And it just everything's just too nicely packaged.
And they didn't even use Poison Ivy's real name.
Of course
not.
Which we have to tell the listeners, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the latest episode 2.
Yeah. Well, I think that was episode 1, wasn't it?
It's
this
episode
was all
two.
The pilot.
Okay.
The stuff you just talked about was from the pilot.
Oh, it was the pilot. I'm sorry. Thank you. Pilot.
Yeah, so there's no spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the pilot, then it sucks to be you. Yeah.
But the second episode,
we're talking about some of
Selina
the stuff.
Kyle, which was cool, like the doll killer.
Selina Kyle was in, but she was also in the pilot. I don't know what we said about the second episode yet.
Well, Justin said because of...
That's true, too. Yeah, you're right, John.
Because of Poison Ivy.
She was in the second episode?
No, Poison Ivy was in the pilot.
That's right, yeah, no. John said that. Yeah, John said it was in the pilot.
No, it was the second. It was the second one.
No, she was not the second one. The second one was okay. Now, spoiler alert: the second one is about
thank you,
people
John.
that are.
Oh, it's
the kids.
It's the, okay, yeah. Then the first one, yeah. I thought it was the second one for some.
Yeah,
reason.
You're right. It is the kids on that one, which Selina Kyle is in, and that's where I give away. Selina Kyle goes, "I know who killed the Waynes." It's just anyway. So it's just that, and then directly Penguin. Once again, back to the quote where Penguin's like, "I foresee the future," and then. Just there's just all those little things that just make it too corny for me to really care too much about.
I like the guy who's playing Penguin. He's doing an all right job.
Yeah,
but I don't like how they're changing Penguin's origin story.
Well, he's not scary. He doesn't seem as a threat in this TV series.
And they tried to do it in the second episode of him as a threat, where he's like, "I'm gonna kill a guy all of a sudden to take his sandwich." So. I don't know.
He wanted money from his parents.
Which is weird because of the car that they're driving. I'm like, hold on, wait. Is this like taking place in like the early 2000s?
Oh, that's another thing. They're all having cell phones and stuff, and that's going to be weird eventually if this is like a prequel show.
Because the way that they have with the pilot with the
Paris. I
guess
we're just getting nitpicky, guys.
just with the Paris, I'm just like, okay, are they supposed to be old timey in a modern setting? Because it looks
it kind of has that, yeah. Which is funny because the animated series kind of had that. It was kind of a throwback to the old.
That's kind of always been part of the Batman thing, is that it takes place in a non-specific time frame.
Okay.
The era setting has never been 100% specific. So
that's true,
It is kind of a they have license to go in that direction of not being specific as to where it takes place or when.
Okay.
Remember the multiverse.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to Gotham. I mean, overall, I'm not... It's not the death sentence that I thought it was going to... Or, you know, the crap fest it might have been.
I will say I personally like it more than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. already 2 episodes in. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, second season...
You don't know yet?
I don't know. Usually I can agree with you when it comes to this, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so far has hit, especially the second episode.
There's cool dynamic.
Hit the ground running.
There is some cool dynamic.
Like this episode, it tied directly into last week's episode. It could have easily, they could have easily done the premiere easily 2 hours. And I like how it turns out in what they're teasing at for the episode 3 is, you know, Simmons is with Hydra. So.
Okay. All right.
I'm interested. And then we got Walking Dead returning Sunday. There, now we're all up to date.
Now we're all up to date, yeah. Yeah.
I can say about the Gotham episode 2 is that my opinions on Gotham haven't changed since the first episode, since the pilot. I'm still curious where it's going to go, but I'm not overly excited about it.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a chance to see the second episode of the season of S.H.I.E.L.D., so...
It's good, Dak, once you get to see it. I mean, it literally picks up minutes after where the first episode
Well, for ended. Me, it for me, it picks up 2 weeks after it ended, so...
Which is for a lot of people as well. But, no, I enjoy it. I just, it's still... I don't know. I'm a little more excited for Gotham, although I have my gripes for Gotham, than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I think
But again, you got to remember, Gotham still has that new car smell.
That's true, too. But right off the bat, just like...
You haven't had to get the...
Just like Arrow, although I enjoy Arrow way more than both of those shows.
It comes back October 8th, everybody.
I can't wait. That's next week.
And Flash is Tuesdays. Flash is Tuesdays, Arrow is Wednesdays.
I still have to finish the first season of Arrow and then jump into the second season. I need to remember that.
Yeah, we're going to third season now, yeah.
The second season of Arrow will be available on Netflix, also on October 8th.
If you do have Hulu, you can catch up on some of the episodes there as well.
Yeah, but you know, I've been watching Beauty and the Beast on WB, and I'm waiting for the third season to come back.
Oh, I have not caught up with that. In case any listeners tune in, give us a little synopsis of the modern 2014 Beauty and the Beast.
So good. Second season is so good. The first season
didn't it get canceled?
They was trying to cancel it, but because it was such a big hit internationally, they decided to make it for one more season, for the third season. Right. And to me, it's such a good, like, after watching the first season, Maradona on Netflix, I was watching it the second season on Hulu, and I was sold. I was just like, y'all cannot end this series like this. Mm-hmm. Like, when they went on hiatus, I was just like, no, I need my Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's really good. Like, drama and action, like, really good.
Interesting.
So, if we could just move on for just a little bit.
Sure, yeah, go right ahead, Ed. You're kind of steering right now. I like it.
The Rock loosely attached to Baywatch movie. Now, everybody hold their thought on this one. Dwayne The Rock Johnson may star in an upcoming Baywatch movie. Paramount is moving the film project forward, and the former pro wrestler is said to be loosely attached to it as a possible star, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The film has reportedly been in consideration by the studio for some time, but Paramount only recently started to increase their efforts to get it off the ground. Shy Anders and John Morris of Where the Millers are set to direct, and Justin Mullane has been hired as the film's writer. No solid plot details are known at this time, although a past writing attempt centered on a series of shark attacks and a possible drug bust. Baywatch was originally a long-running television series about a group of lifeguards and their work patrolling a local beach.
Yeah, whatever.
I know, I just find it interesting that
my complete lack of give a damn is so taken up the room.
What, you want to know why I find that interesting?
It's just sad that The Rock is involved.
Right. And just be like, okay, are you playing, what's his name from Knight Rider?
David Hasselhoff?
I wonder if he's going to play David Hasselhoff's part.
I seriously doubt that.
David Hasselhoff could just play it, to be honest with you.
But because Baywatch, I'm like, did it really have, like, any surprising drama besides Pamela Anderson jumping up and down and everybody tuning in to watch it for
there, that? There was things. I've watched Baywatch a lot. I even watched Baywatch Nights, which was weird. It was when David Hasselhoff's character.
By weird, you mean horribly bad, right?
As well as that. But what they did was they were a private detective agency after Baywatch was over, after their day job was over. And Hasselhoff and I forget the black lifeguard's name, but him and Hasselhoff have a detection agency. And eventually it turns into them going after paranormal type of events, like chasing vampires and some other. It gets really crazy. Yeah, it gets a little goofy, but I enjoyed it. But for the most part, Baywatch was, you know, it talked about issues, it was for teenage boys.
Shoehorned issues.
Yeah, shoehorned issues.
What was the one that Hulk Hogan was in?
Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise. I could see The Rock doing something like that with Hulk Hogan. That's a B-movie straight laugh out material. I would just be like, I could watch this movie and bawl out laughing at the craziness and the hideousness it would be.
I could see them both doing that movie, and that could be a movie. That could be a because that was a TV show, and it was about basically Hulk Hogan as like a mercenary with a superboat. Wasn't it a superboat, basically?
Yeah, it was. And it came on UPN on Sundays, and I used to just be like, what is this crazy nonsense?
UPN, yeah. Yeah, that was all that stuff. Baywatch was on there, that show, a few other shows that... I'm trying to think of what else they had that were on at that time, but
any thoughts, John?
Baywatch.
Baywatch was awesome.
As we hear the Baywatch intro.
Yeah. Ooh yeah.
Baywatch actually, it's really funny because Baywatch actually is a big part of my stand-up comedy, so.
Oh yeah, you got a joke you can share with us right now?
No, it's again, I'm more of a visual comic.
So oh,
it's again, it's one of those that's got to be recorded and seen to be appreciated.
This is classic.
But I do
help somebody. Look at that montage of them doing Baywatch stuff. And there's Hasselhoff. Out of my side. What's that mess? Go ahead and answer it on your end.
Oh, no. I'm calling them.
Ooh, what happened?
I don't know. It just cut off.
That was interesting.
Yeah, don't call. Whoever's calling me, don't call me. Call Ed. Or Ed, call them.
Well, I'm calling it, but you're in a group.
Yeah. Don't, Well, we got John on.
Yeah, I just answered Ed.
Oh.
Dex should be calling back.
Did you get kicked off too, John? Is that what happened?
I guess, because I was in the middle of talking. All of a sudden, yeah. Dex ringing in.
And then like, I was playing... Gonna be all right.
Because I was talking about how The Rock and Hulk Hogan, they wouldn't do a movie together or a TV show, because...
They hate each other, or Hulk Hogan
No,
is,
they get along, but... But The Rock is a bona fide movie star. And I mean, look at Hulk Hogan's track record. Suburban Commando.
Oh, there's Carmen Electra. This is my favorite part of the song.
I wonder if you
always I'll be there. I don't know. That's how much I watch. I can actually sing some of that.
It was good. Again, but that's a product of our time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Quite honest.
And you know, my teenage boy years as well.
Exactly. That's when you learned.
That Pamela Anderson.
Well, I mean, you look at
and Tiffany Amber Thiessen were fighting over my viewing pleasure.
Right, right. Well, and then, of course, depending on, again, for being a part of that era, you know, if you watch Baywatch, you know, you saw Pamela Anderson, and then if you watched MTV, you watched Singled Out, and you saw Jenny McCarthy, and then if you went to a bookstore, you saw a Dirty Magazine that had both of them on the cover.
That's right. It was a great marketing ploy for everything, for everyone involved.
Which is funny, because I used to watch VIP with Pamela Anderson.
Oh, yeah!
I still love that show. I still love VIP.
That I used to watch that, too, because it was nothing but half-naked women doing detective work.
I mean, what was the other one? Barbed Wire?
Oh, yeah, that was the movie that she was in. Yeah.
So, we love you, Pamela Anderson.
Oh, here we go. Thunder in Paradise for Hulk Hogan here. Did we get Dak back on yet, or what's going on?
I'm still waiting for him to pick up.
See if you can add him to the conversation while we listen to a little bit of Thunder and Paradise intro.
He might be having a
Skype issue.
Yeah, because he just erased and only got Jah. So he might be.
This is his first show with his own internet. Remember.
You remember this, John?
Oh, yeah. I watched the show, too.
I don't remember the intro to
it. Girls are walking. A montage of girls walking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, this is back in the popularity of Baywatch.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny? I don't remember the theme song at all.
And that's why we have this show, and that's why I play these things. Look at that, the magic boat.
Oh, that CG looked terrible.
Yep. Hey, I shoot guns. My name is Chris Lumen. Lemon. I'm the hot girl who gets the job done. Of course, John can't see. This is much better when John's here, actually. Her name is Carol Hitt. And then we're about to get the Hulk Hogan. Boom, explosions, boats flying everywhere.
That's one of my favorite songs by The Lonely Island. Cool guys walk away from explosions.
Da-da. Thunder in paradise.
You need to just quit.
Oh, you're telling me I'm bad?
No, I'm just trying to figure out what the heck are you doing?
I'm singing along. I'm getting into the moment. All right, that's enough of that.
Which is funny because I used to watch Thunder in Paradise, Baywatch, VIP, and then Mortal Kombat came on Channel U.
Oh, yeah.
I love that show. I was just like, oh, this movie, this TV show.
I got to admit.
Still waiting for Deck to come back.
There's a plus button right there. Uh-huh. Click it and then type in Dak's name. And hit it and see if it comes in. But I would assume he would try to call you or something.
Let's see if we can get back on. Because his thing is not on. While we're getting some of the technical issues and stuff out the way, I'm going to do a quick story real quick. Just 1 second. Rush Hour TV adaptation heads to CBS. A few days back, we reported that a TV show based on the Rush Hour movie franchise, which starred Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan, was currently in development at Warner Brothers Television.
Wow.
Now EW.com is reporting the series has found a home at CBS, who has given the project a pilot production commitment. The Rush Hour series hails from Cougar Town co-creator Bill Lawrence and Cougar Town producer and writer Blake McCormick.
Do we really need a weekly episode of Rush Hour?
Well, for the record, we were not the ones who reported on it. You did the article you were reading, Ed. You said we reported. So just to clarify, so
no, that was in the story.
That was in the story.
Yeah, it's from IGN.
He is reading the article, people. In case you're listening,
I'm just making sure that listeners don't think that we here reported on the article.
Yeah, we're not that cool. We don't get that type of info.
We don't have that kind of press pass.
John, what was the name of that Lonely Island song that you were talking about?
Oh, cool guys walk away from explosions.
Thank you.
No surprise, the series will follow the exploits of a sporadic by-the-book Hong Kong police officer who was assigned to a case in Los Angeles and is paired with a cocky African-American LAPD officer who has no interest in a partner. Lawrence and McCormick will write and executive produce the action comedy along with original director Brett Ratner, Arthur Sarkisian, and Jeff Englow. And if I don't know, Dak, if you missed it, but CBS is doing an adaptation of the Rush Hour franchise. So it will be like a weekly TV series for it.
They've only committed to a pilot, which doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah.
All that means is they're willing to pay for a pilot to be made, and it will probably not go any further than that.
Yeah.
It'll probably be in the pile of unaired pilots that so many in the graveyard have.
Yeah, but personally, why? I don't. Rush Hour was great as a movie, as a popcorn summer film.
It was okay as a movie.
Yeah, well, the first one was the best one, hands down. First one was
the best. It was also the only decent movie Brett Ratner ever made.
My memory with Rush Hour is that was the first movie I ever saw at Regal when it opened.
Oh, wow. My memory is the Thong Song. So
because when Regal opened,
let's play
which
that.
Is the local movie theater here, when they opened, they let you go see a free movie, which was a movie that was not in that,
a popular
one.
It
was already released. No, it was already released. It was like that and a few others. Because the first movie I actually paid for to go see at Regal was an Adam Sandler flick known as The Waterboy.
Which was great.
That was funny, too.
That's a classic. That is a comedy classic right there. Speaking of comedy classics.
Seems like these days the whole world is on fire. Things keep blowing the hell up. And while all those rubberneckers and Lucky Lou's stand slack-jawed staring, the real men have the nuts to walk away. Yeah. Guys don't look at explosions. They blow things up and then walk away. Who's got time to watch an explosion? There's cool guy errands that they have to walk to. Keep walking, keep shining. Don't look back, keep on walking. Keep strutting, slow motion. The more you ignore it, the cooler you look.
Gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Mr. Neil Diamond.
Where are we?
Cool guys don't look at explosions. They stride forward in their diamond-covered boots.
That's Will Ferrell there, people.
Jump suits of glittery rhinestones and walk away in slow motion.
Keep walking.
You're cruising. Cherry, cherry, sweet Caroline.
Denzel walks,
Will Smith walks, Mark Wahlberg is wearing a hat.
Keyboard solo, J.J. Abrams! Damn!
Now you're talking.
Guys don't look at explosions. The flames are hot, but their heart is chill. Walk fast from that boring explosion. And don't think about the people you killed.
2, 3, 4
The Abrams go. Look at Wolverine. Explosions. For all the action movies that we were just talking about. Thank you, John. Thank you for
that. No problem.
It's like I'm chewing something. Any more of an Ed story, though? Nothing? Uh-oh. Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty much it for that, then. You got your stories down. John, you got anything else you want to throw out there?
Nope, just playing Destiny.
Let us know. What's up with Destiny? What you got going on there? What level you at? How's that go? What are we doing?
I'm level 25, and I'm just doing strike missions.
And what is that involved?
I'm just partied up with a bunch of random strangers kicking ass and chewing bubblegum.
Now, random strangers, is that through Xbox Live, or?
Yeah, matchmaking, yeah.
Oh, cool, cool. So it's an open world,
It's like a first-person shooter MMO. It'll be popular till the next big game comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're Ed, and you know, you play Smash Brothers.
Or if you're me, who's playing Pokemon still.
But, dude, Pokemon, everyone plays the Pokemon. I'm just killing time until November when the new versions come out. The remakes of Ruby and Sapphire. Who doesn't play the Pokemons?
Yeah, well, now I'm on it, and Deck doesn't play the Pokemons.
But he knows about the Pokemons.
Deck is probably looking at the screen like, I know nothing what you guys talking about.
He's like, I thought we left the Pokemons last week, guys. Right.
Well, I'm leveling it up, baby. I just beat Misty, no problem. I got myself a Bellsprout.
I do got two more stories.
I fucked that shit up.
Oh, Lord. I do got two more stories real quick.
Misty was on her knees.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to let that go. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made Brock suck it, too, man.
We're going to talk about
one.
That later.
I got my boulder badge.
Oh, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
You made her kiss your star, you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's also part of my stand-up, by the way.
Thank you.
Just some quick video game news. Secret Smash Brothers Fighters coming to Wii U. Nintendo has revealed three Secret Smash Brothers Fighters. Earthbound's Ness, Star Fox's Falco, and Wario are confirmed unlockables in the upcoming Wii U version of the game. While the reveal was done by Nintendo on the Smash Brothers site, there is not yet any official news of any if there would be any difference from previous versions to the moveset each character would have, nor is there any mention of the process for unlocking them. However, it is likely that they'll be unlocked on Wii U in the same method as the Super Smash Brothers for 3DS version, which came out Friday. Ness returns to continue his streak of Smash Brothers appearances that began with the original Super Smash Brothers on N64.
Mm-hmm.
Falco's first appearance in Melee and Wario made his entrance to the world in Smash Brothers and Brawl on Wii. The characters will appear in the Wii U version of the game, the release date of which has yet to be announced. However, there is a speculation that the game will be coming out sometime this November. All the characters are in the 3DS game, which came out on Friday. IGN gave the 3DS version an 8.8 in their review. And the last story before I close out with my stories and then everybody else can have theirs. U.S. Supreme Court denies EA's motion to appeal ruling in Keller versus EA. The U.S. Supreme Court has chosen not to hear a rights of publicity case, a topic it hasn't addressed for decades involving Electronic Arts. The Supreme Court on Thursday denied EA's request to appeal a Ninth Circuit Court ruling for a class of college athletes led by former Nebraska and Arizona State quarterback Sam Keller, which is Keller versus EA. Keller sued the company and the NCAA in 2009 for using his image and likeness without compensating him in EA's NCAA branded football and basketball games. The Ninth Circuit three-judge panel found 2-1 that EA could not claim First Amendment protection for artistic creations because it claimed that avatars of players were as lifelike as possible in marketing. Electronic Arts reached a $40 million settlement in June with current and former players whose images were used in NCAA-branded video games starting in January 2005. The NCAA agreed to a $20 million settlement with players shortly thereafter. In a similar case against the NCAA, college basketball star Everett O. Bennett led a class of student athletes claiming that the NCAA exploited players by profiting from their images and television broadcasts. Oakland, U.S. District Judge Claudia Wilkin ruled that the NCAA's rules on paying student athletes unreasonably restrained trade in the market for educational athletic opportunities for Division I colleges and universities. And then if you guys want to read it, this more of the story, you can go to gamepolitics.com where they have it listed.
Or we can get that link and we can post it in with the tonight's episode, or you know when we do it. So
well, yeah, they do have the yeah.
Just send it to me later on, and okay. I'll try to get all that together.
Because actually, in Northwestern right now, Northwestern University, on that matter, the students actually have formed a union to start making to get paid for what they do for playing college football.
I think this is great. I totally agree. These athletes are being exploited. Look how many jackets, memorabilia.
It depends on the athlete. For instance, Johnny Manziel, before he signed, you know, before he actually signed with, I believe Cleveland or Cincinnati.
Now we're talking a college student going to major leagues.
But when he was still playing in college, he was actually, you know, making money, which is a college player is not supposed to have an agent until he graduates. But he was still signing and making money off his autograph, which again is against any kind of collegiate rules whatsoever. Is that these, even though the schools can make tons of money off these kids, these kids cannot make money off themselves.
Yeah, which is what I disagree with.
Which, exactly, as well. my thing is the money that they're making, that they should be making, should at least go to any student loans or anything. You know,
well, most of these guys, they probably have grants and they're probably on scholarships. So,
but see,
they're already using, they're already sucking off the tit.
my thing is the NCAA. I think if they're gonna do this, they should pay for them getting into that school, and they should pay for their books and rooming and lodging and things like that while they're at the school. If the kids and the parents are still paying, gotta pay for this stuff, and NCAA is making money off of them, off of these jerseys and their likeness and stuff like that, I feel that that's unfair. You know, if the NCAA is gonna make any kind of money, part of that money should go to these kids' schooling.
Yeah, well, I said, that's probably... go ahead, John.
But their argument, too... Yeah, see, you're on a subject I actually want to talk about, and you're in a hurry to move along.
That was the final story.
But the thing is... But the other side of the coin is these kids, they got their tuition paid for. And the thing is really a lot of it has more to do with the NHL... Not the NHL. The NFL, because the NFL does not have a minor league compared to, like, hockey or baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So... Or basketball, but basketball and football, they do the same thing. They just take the kids out of college. Well, you know, Kobe Bryant from the NBA was the last player to get signed out of high school.
Cool.
Now the NBA made it where the kids have to at least play a year in college before they go, which is the same thing with the NFL. So a lot of these guys do the one and done deal, where they go, they play one season with the team and then enter the draft to get paid.
Which explains so much when you listen to certain athletes. They don't really have much to say, and they say just the same things over and over again.
But also with the college kids, though, is I get why they want to get paid, because they're not there for the school, really. They're there to start their career, but they can't go right out of high school, so they have to go. And, you know, you could mess up, you know, break a leg and your career's over, and then, of course, they also lose their scholarship if that happens. Right. So... But this was, part of Ed's sports podcast he's got to do eventually.
Which is weird. Well, because it's video game related and it's the court system. Which is weird, though, because I think for right now, nobody really don't want to touch the NFL right now. Everybody really just want to see the games, because all the crazy mess that's going on in the NFL with their commissioner, with Ray Rice and all that other stuff, you know, nobody really want to touch the NFL. And I was actually it's funny, I was actually talking to my friend in Seattle about this, is that they reported on the Daily Show that, you know, of having a gay player in the NFL is going to cause problems. And the Daily
he was
Show,
cut, by the way, he was cut from the Rams.
But he went out to another team, though.
He made it out of Dallas' training squad, but he's not playing in the league.
Oh, I thought he was.
No.
Well, the funny thing is that they showed a montage of all the straight players beating wives and getting caught cheating, shooting folks, and just doing all this crazy stuff. And they were just like, "Hey, you guys are worried about a gay player being in the NFL. And then you just get this new news about Ray Rice and the commissioner might know about it and stuff like that. And it was kind of weird, you know, just to see that. Well, so really, a lot of people don't want to touch the NFL right now.
And I think it also gets to, like, the other funny thing that with all this NFL stuff, too, is it gets on a topic that we talked about before we went live, you know, about people doing stupid things, and you're like, really? You know, and these kids not getting an education. You know, Adrian Peterson has been suspended in the NFL for beating his 4-year-old kid because his son wouldn't stop crying. And I mean, I'm talking welts, like beating him. You know, and then another African American player is like, I do that to my daughter all the time, who's only 3. And I'm like,
whoa.
And again, these are NFL players. And
wow.
And you're sitting there like, and you think this is acceptable behavior. Did you not learn from Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, exactly. Let alone a 3-year-old. I mean, if you're doing it that bad, either you are a bad parent or your kid's really that bad that you probably should be seeking help.
But again, then that gets into a show that, you know, that we're
that is a different
nature versus nurture.
Yeah,
you know,
and that is a whole conversation in itself, yeah.
Sorry about that, Dak. I don't know what happened or anything.
He got cut off again?
No, I know what happened.
Oh. But he's back, so.
Was it my internet or anything?
Nope.
Oh.
It's not you, Ed.
I'm sorry.
It's me.
Dak, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
You always love those. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah,
it
but
is
that's
really
all,
me.
Yeah, but that's all the news that I have. I'm sorry, anybody didn't mean to.
Oh no, that's perfect. I mean, technically, we went through the list of the things that I wanted to talk about, so I'm practically done with the show already.
Dak, did you have anything? I'm sorry.
Not really.
John, did you have anything? Any notes?
Nope.
No, I think that's
did
it.
Anybody have any notes?
No, we figured this was the Ed episode. Ed took charge the moment we went on air. It was all, I got notes, move along.
I got notes, notes, yo,
like,
yo.
It was like, y'all ain't going to say nothing. We're going to talk about what I want to talk about.
No,
I
didn't mean
it. Well, here, you know, like I said, I mean, we pretty much went through all the things that I wanted to talk about. So, I mean, the notes that I had were done with already. So, given that it's Halloween, do we have any horror movies that are coming up that anymore, other than Annabelle, which is the most recent horror movie that's coming out? Do we have anything that's popping up for you, me,
yes,
John?
Anyway,
John.
Ben Affleck will be Batman.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That actually brings me back. Okay, real quick before we jump on that. Uh-huh. There's this. The reason why I asked about Uproxx is there is this article going around, and it shows Ben Affleck on the article. It looks like Batman and everything. It's about him going on to Bill Maher show and debating Bill Maher that some of his you know, Islamic, whatever, is, you know, racist in a sense, which I guess I can agree to an extent, but he looks like Bruce Wayne. He's in a suit. He has this, you know, just this angry look on him, and I'm like, that's a Bruce Wayne, and that's a Batman. So if you haven't checked it out, it's that article, and the picture they have on there for me is Bruce Wayne style.
Because he was actually on The Daily Show Thursday talking to Jon Stewart a little bit about
that
Batman,
whole scenario.
And just to look at him and be like, I can see it.
No, I do. I see it. I'm glad you see it too. Yeah, you know, it really shows that this is Batman. This is
again,
Bruce Wayne to me.
When it comes to Ben Affleck as Batman, I'm just gonna again take the advice that Dak had said way back a year ago when I was bitching about it, and wait and see. You gotta wait and see.
Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
Can't judge it right now. So
no, well, visually you know. Already, I'm already seeing it, and I'm already sold.
Don't.
You know,
I don't see it. But again, every time I get more and more upset about it, I think back to what Dak had said way back when. Got to give it a chance.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
We haven't even gotten a trailer yet. That's true, too. So we haven't even seen what this thing looks in motion. But the pictures, I'm digging it. It looks like Batman to me. You know, I think when we talked about when we got some of the first snippets, and it was like right off the top of my head, that was Frank Miller Batman to me. That looked like Frank Miller, old man Batman. And I'm already sold with that.
Which I need to bring you the Wired magazine that talks about Frank Miller. They did a they did an interview with him. I'm going to have to bring it and have you read it. They talk kind of about his comic book life and like how he got into movies and stuff like that. It's really, it's a really good read. So I'm going to have to bring that to you.
No, I'll try to check that out. Yeah, Frank Miller. Which not all of his works are great. So I'll say that. Especially his film works are not up to par with, actually, almost all his film. Even when he did RoboCop, a couple of them were kind of goofy. So, yeah, for the most part, Frank Miller hasn't really had a good film streak, if you ask me. Other than 300, which he just kind of co-produced.
Sin City was good.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, and that's also his work, too.
The second one wasn't that good, though.
You saw it? Okay. Do you remember reading A Dame to Kill For and that volume at all or anything like that?
I didn't read it, but I saw the movie, and I just... Unfortunately, like, when the first Sin City came out, the filmmaking was that, you know, wow, my God, I haven't seen anything like this. And pretty much when you went to see A Dame to Kill For, it was more of the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Any thoughts, Dak?
Well, I mean, Sin City, for the most part, it's great. It's a great read. But, yeah, I'm going to have to check out A Dame to Kill For and see what's up. I've been wanting to reread it just so I can go. Because when I actually saw Sin City, the first one, I just got done reading the whole series. I think it was like 7 volumes, if I remember correctly. And it was great. It was great. I couldn't put it down. The movie, the first one I saw, it, almost picking up the book. Just like Watchmen, putting it up there, bam, it was like watching the comic book in action. So maybe for me, being somewhat of a fan of it, I might like it a little bit more, but I can see what John's saying, because we already seen it. We've seen what it did before, and then 300 kind of did a little bit of the same.
It's kind of like looking at The Spirit.
Yeah, or The Spirit. Thank you, The Spirit, which is another Frank Miller directed movie.
Which we'll move on, because The Spirit just put my spirit to sleep. I was KO.
Samuel L. Jackson as that eccentric villain. It didn't do it for you? No.
If you watch Django and then you watch Samuel L. Jackson in this movie, you can see the difference.
Oh well, of course.
I like Samuel L. Jackson in Unbreakable. That's one of my favorite.
Yeah, that one was good.
That's a good movie.
It's not a comic book movie, but it was. The last good.
I like how when you said Unbreakable, both me and Ed were like, yeah, that was good at the same time. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. I got to watch it again.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I do. I too. It's almost like 3 hours, too. It's a pretty long movie. Well, it's like two and a half, really.
Sham Hammer movie out there.
What was that, Dick?
That it's the only decent Sham Hammer movie out there.
Actually, a lot of people feel somewhat the same way. It's like you have The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and
Sixth Sense was good for two viewings.
Okay, yeah, basically, yeah.
It was good for two viewings.
I liked Unbreakable more.
Look at that segue. Guess what we're getting into?
Ooh, two viewings.
Know, I like M. Night Shyamalan. I really like his work, and I didn't see the one that they were in the forest, and that one.
The village.
Yeah, I didn't see The Village.
You ain't missing nothing.
Now everybody, don't have a heart attack and don't yell at me. The Last Airbender, I kind of like. I didn't have a problem
like
with
too.
It.
I like it, too. Don't feel bad. I think
it was cool. I just couldn't stand the acting and the monotone dialogue
again,
and acting.
I was also a fan of the Nickelodeon show.
and I think that's what a lot of people got really mad at, saying that it was a terrible movie. I'm like, I didn't have no problem with it.
Were you a fan of the Nickelodeon show?
I seen part of the Nickelodeon show, and I was just like, this is anime ripoff garbage. Though this
really?
Yes. I was just like, this is trying to be too...
John might have to come to your house and put you to sleep, Ed.
He just might have to.
Hey, Ed has his opinion. It may be wrong, but he is entitled to his optional opinion.
My thing is this. I have seen way better anime-style TV shows that's way better than Avatar The Last Airbender.
I could see that. No doubt.
Teen Titans?
Really?
I will put
Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go?
The original Teen Titans.
Okay.
That's trying to have an anime feel to it. WB got that right so much. The Last Airbender, I'm just like, this doesn't make no sense. This animation style looks cheap, even though it's trying to be anime style. I'm just like, they don't got it. Garbage bin.
Wow, because that's a really huge fan base for that show.
Yeah, and then so when I went in and go and see it in the movie, I was just like, okay.
Good story.
Yeah, I did hear that it had a pretty good story.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about the story of the show.
I've been liking Legend of Korra, which is the second one, which takes place like 1,000 years after Aang is the airbender. She's the new airbender. They're going into book 4 finally with that one.
Yeah, and that one is really good. I prefer that one better than the other one.
The animated series you were talking about. Okay.
Right. I prefer this one now than the original.
But to be honest, it's like it's hard for me to go see a movie based on a cartoon that I won't like because I've seen the lowest of the low, and that was Dragon Ball. So I compare that. Any movie I see, I compare to that. And let me tell you, the only thing that I liked about Dragon Ball was I went to go see it with
Chow Yun Fat.
No, hold on. I'm going somewhere with this.
Do it.
The only redeeming factor of it was I went to see that movie with 3 of my closest friends, and we were the only ones in that movie, and we Mystery Science Theater 3000 that fucking movie. That is all I'm saying.
I wish I was there. I wish that was a show right there. But no, I think the best part of that movie was Chow Yun Fat, to be honest with you. As
Grandpa Gohan?
Yeah. I really enjoyed that aspect of the movie. But everything else was ridiculous.
There was no redeeming qualities. It really
Bulma, I like Bulma. Bulma
was too bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, by the end of it, I'm walking out and I'm sitting there and I'm doing what everybody does during a crappy movie is started thinking of the softcore porn version of what these characters would have been named.
And Bulma could have fit in that as well.
Well, because we already have Chi-Chi. She's already self-explanatory.
Oh, yeah!
Okay.
Thank you for Chi-Chi. I do remember that now.
Bulma would have been like Boobas or something, and then Goku would have been like Kako, whatever. You know, again, it's... Okay.
Too bad they didn't open it.
Who chose to play the music?
I did. That's the original Dragon Ball opening.
It's cool, but I'm starting to feel like I'm at like the Oscars or the Emmys, where obviously my thought process is going on too long, and so somebody's playing music to get me to shut up.
You're not shutting up, John.
Again, I still think I should be cast to play Doctor Strange, but Ed didn't let me make my case. He cut me off. He's like, good moving along. But.
Oh, wonderful Dragon Ball. I love the original.
Speaking of Dragon Ball. The new movie came out, the animated one, I haven't seen yet, Battle of the Gods. It's available on Blu-ray, so I got to pick that up. But first original movie since Dragon Ball Z ended.
Which, all these Dragon Balls, when you watch them on TV, are interesting because it's like the same show, but they cut it.
Yeah.
And they just cut it or they add things in there. It's kind of weird. So I don't keep up with it. So when I...
Yeah, it's... Like I said, Dragon Ball Z is all you have to watch.
Yeah.
And pretty much a good 60 out of whatever the 100 and some odd episode run it is this.
Your power levels.
Dragon Ball Z.
Well, I think the movie is out on DVD, the new Dragon Ball movie.
Yeah, it is. It came out October 7th. Back in August, it had its limited theatrical run, which I would have seen.
So it comes out Tuesday then?
Yeah, yeah. So it comes out Tuesday, yeah, because there was those... Well, yeah, because what were the movies you said were coming out Tuesday? Did we talk about it on or was it off air? You're talking about Sleeping Beauty?
This new release that's coming out that's kind of major is Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow, starring Tom Cruise, and Disney's Sleeping Beauty, the Diamond Edition. So it contains the Blu-ray on the DVD and I think the digital HD version, digital version.
I wish I could find a clip of them going, "Your power levels are extreme."
You have to look up Nappa going, his power level's above 9,000.
Oh, I should just do that.
That's the big joke. So,
thank you for the big joke.
He rips off his eye thing and, you know, stomps on the ground and...
power levels above 9,000. That's really it. That's all I get from Dragon Ball is just that.
Anyways, I won't waste your time with Dragon Ball. I love Dragon Ball.
Wait, I think this is it. Hold on.
Vegeta, what does the scouter say about his power level? It's over 9,000. What, 9,000? There's no way that could be right.
And they're just shouting, but they're not shouting.
And then that's how you can tell where we're at now with the show, where we finally got a Dragon Ball Z above 9,000 reference.
Wow.
It happened. So
anything else, guys?
No, that's...
I thought we were going to go into Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, John.
Oh, yeah. Halloween movies. Can I make my quick announcement?
Yeah, go ahead. Do that.
If you guys haven't been listening to Optional Opinion or here or checking me out, I will be doing next Monday, I will be doing a commentary track on Silent Hill Revelations. You can find the movie on Netflix, probably on Hulu. I think it's on there. Or you can find it digitally anywhere or probably find it in the store.
Just download, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm doing a one-man commentary while watching the movie, live streaming it. So you guys tune in next Monday at 11 p.m. for that.
Such a good movie.
I've seen the first Silent Hill, but I haven't seen the second one. So I'm really intrigued on watching this. I might have to laugh, and I might be like,
there's some funniness to this movie.
If there's some real campiness, it's coming out.
Oh, it's got campiness. There's no doubt about it.
Because of Revelations?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are you a fan of the game series?
Well, of course I am, so I can actually...
I know you are. I mean, I post pictures of Silent Hill around this time.
I respect Silent Hill. I'm still trying to get through the first one. The controls are terrible, as always, in the camera angle.
You're not going to like it, then, Ed.
I would tell you this. I respect Silent Hill, and I like people. I love people who like that series, because that's good video game information for me to be educated. And I really don't want to judge it just on its controls and its camera. I am playing it. You know, I still got the first one. I need to download the second and third one and just really give it a good try.
Skip the second one. That second one was not my favorite. The second one was really good, but it really doesn't tie into anything else in
this. Well, this is the funny thing that you guys just said that, because everyone recommends the second one as the highest.
I don't agree.
Silent Hill Downpour, and I am going to play that one too. I was more of a Resident Evil player. So I was hooked on more to Resident Evil, and then I got into Silent Hill. But when I couldn't pass that one, I now just passed this one puzzle that I had trouble with. I really am going to go back into playing it. I do enjoy the first movie. The first movie was spectacular. I really like it, and I kind of liked how it ended.
Which one, Silent Hill or Resident Evil?
Silent Hill.
Okay.
The Resident Evil movies are good. They can be fun, too.
I'm just going to go on record real quick. And put it this way. The reason I like Silent Hill Revelations is the same reason I liked Resident Evil Nemesis.
Was that the third one?
That's the third game.
I thought that was the third movie,
Apocalypse,
too.
Sorry. Resident Evil Apocalypse. That's the reason I liked Resident Evil Apocalypse. Because it pretty much followed the storyline of Nemesis, which was Resident Evil 3. So, okay.
Even though they already intertwined Nemesis.
Right.
Earlier. Was Apocalypse the second movie?
If you go to the game, Silent Hill 2 is the controls, it's really done nicely and stuff, but Silent Hill 1 and then Silent Hill 3 is more of the sequel to Silent Hill 1.
Yeah, Silent Hill 3 no doubt is the sequel to Silent Hill 1.
And then it's the room.
I
lost it once they started going into all that stuff.
I have the room. I got to finish it. I also have Silent Hill for the Wii, which is very interesting.
I do have that one, Sunny.
It's a good one. I just haven't finished it yet. It creeped me out a little bit, especially for the Wii's graphics and everything. It was actually kind of good. But for the most part, when you want Silent Hill, and it's the original people, because once you get to the room, I believe that's when they changed designers or whoever was.
Yeah, because I think Downpour is supposed to be like the prequel to Resident Evil 1. Like, that one's about the first guy who ever went to Silent Hill or
something.
I don't know.
I forget. But they're all related because of the cult that's within Silent Hill. That's how these stories are related. I guess a little Silent Hill history if you don't know. What it is they're taking the children, basically, and essentially the overall, the cult wants to bring in this new world order, which is through death, and through the death will bring this new heaven. So there's some good intentions through the cult, but how it gets to that point.
Wait, is good intentions? Wait, Mir?
It's true. Yeah, you gotta. This is why playing the all the games too play into it. The third one though ties it all together. So
Okay, well then explain to me the special hidden ending. Like every Silent Hill has the UFO ending.
Oh, as far as I understand, that's a joke. That is, yeah, that's just a joke ending.
I love those endings.
It's good because after you're playing that game, I played all 1, 2, 3. So I played them. Big fan of 1 and 3, most definitely. After you play those games, it's a nerve wracking game. You know, and then you get that ending, and it's kind of like, although it doesn't add to your ending in a sense, where it's like, okay, you find out he's this, he's that, blah blah blah. It's just like, oh, UFO explains everything now. And a dog ending. You also get a dog ending, which mostly sometimes, not mostly, but sometimes coexists with the UFO ending. But you're playing the game, and then you get the lighthearted ending, and it kind of feels good because seriously, you're battling demons. You're seriously digging into hell as you go deeper into the game, and you're learning more and more fucked up crap about what's going on with this town. Go ahead.
Before you guys continue, I have to show this to
Carpool, which
okay,
is
okay. So there's a transformer who transforms into a version of Deadpool.
It's kind of cool,
and it's kind of cool. Continue.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll share with you too, John, on Facebook.
Or you could probably just send that link to the Skype chat so they can all see it. But yeah, for the most part, you start listening to the story. Although there's the psychological aspect for the protagonist of the game, and not just that, their story's really revolved around that. It's really what's going on behind the scenes, and it's about a cult that's trying to bring on this new world order through basically blood and death and all that. And that's what they're trying to set for. So the whole thing with the girl that you learn in Silent Hill 2 Revelations, which is Silent Hill 3, the video game, she was the original girl that was Alessa. Alessa eventually split herself up.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah,
Justin,
go ahead.
Just quit talking about the story of Silent Hill because then you're going to spoil the movie.
That's true too. Well, that's still even what they explained in the either way, it's a mess. The transition from game to movie is still kind of a mess.
But like you put it on the Facebook page too when it came to the Revelations. If you played the games, you really appreciate it just a little bit more.
It's true. It's true.
And like I said, I respect Silent Hill. I like what they brought to the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a niche, not cult following, a really niche kind of game with a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of felt like really let down on how the franchise has been treated. How Konami just allowed it to be treated. So now with Silent Hills, with it being with Hideo Kojima and
Guillermo del Toro.
You know, people are freaked out by the PT demo, and it got them hyped for this new one.
Well, they also went out and got the guy who plays Daryl Dixon.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So, to me, they really got to bring the creepiness.
It's
Norman Reedus.
Reedus, yeah. The question is, are they going to keep with the Silent Hill mythos? Because it's called Silent Hills, which turns it into something else automatically.
They have to, because the thing about it is, Silent Hill cannot go the Resident Evil route, video game-wise. If it does, it's going to make a lot of...
Are you talking about the mechanics of 5 and 6, or...
Of
Resident Evil 5 and 6?
Yeah, 5 and 6. I mean, if they make it more of an action game, a lot of people see, that's the thing about it. Everybody fears is that if it goes that route, it's going to be a problem.
Well, from the demo, which I got to see play, it doesn't seem... Well, and once again, we really don't know what that demo totally represents.
Right.
But it adds a new dynamic, but to me, it's not totally Silent Hill. They could have actually named it something else, and I still would enjoy this game. It's until I see, you know, kind of like what we're talking about here with all the new shows coming out, the new movies and stuff like that. We got to kind of wait to see what they're really showing.
Did we mention that Walking Dead returns on Sunday?
Thank you for
yes.
that.
I think so.
So it's going to be interesting what that really turns out to be. But as for Silent Hill, it hasn't been Silent Hill since basically Silent Hill 3.
And this just came to my mind. I could see Silent Hill as a version of American Horror Story, like the first season.
Kind of.
If they could pull that off, because I know Del Toro, or I keep messing this name up, he makes creepy movies.
Yeah.
Good, really good movies, but if he could work in a family setting and that and make it straight Silent Hills, not much as the rule.
Are you talking about a movie though? A live action version, or are you just talking about video game?
Video game.
Okay. Video game, I'm not too much worried about video game because I'm already, you know, although I own these and I played the different variations, the first three Silent Hills are Silent Hill to me. Everything else is just this different variation after the fact of what the initial story was. When it comes to the movies, though, I think in order to get the Silent Hill movie game feel, you got to give it to someone who has a gritty director feel. Del Toro is great, you know, but he's too clean and too polished person.
I think someone
who would have guts and grotesque type of things, very gritty, dirty type of feeling.
I think you might have to give it to a Japanese director.
Oh yeah. Thank you. That's actually a good point because it is a Japanese game. Well, yeah.
Because it's just like there's something about Japanese horror that's very.
They
different.
Bring the creeps.
they mostly deal with more with ghost stories.
Mm-hmm. And, it's more cerebral. Is what it is
exactly. And I think it could be messed up. I don't care if they subtitle it or dub it.
Yeah, yeah.
They can make that movie wonderful, where us Americans would be like, "What? We don't want to do
every American version of these Japanese horror movies." I love the original Japanese versions. They're so creepy, even as goofy as some of them are. They still bring the creep factor to them compared to the American version, which is very polished and 1, 2, 3, you know, type
right.
of thing.
And
you're
and
just
I
like,
think,
it's, this is it.
And with a lot of American horror directors, they got to do movies. They got to do movie tricks where Japanese, I think, directors in horror movies, they're going to give it to you straight, but they're going to make it creepy as ever.
Well, it's also the storytelling. Here in America, we're so fast-paced. Everything is in our face. Everything is in front of us. You can't, like John said, get too cerebral with things because people are going to lose it. You know, they're just like, I'm not. Americans are dumb for the most part. That's why our content is the way it is half the time. When you look at these other aspects, like a lot of foreign movies creep me out compared to a lot of American movies. And a lot of good horror movies that I end up finding end up being the independent movies that you're going to catch, you know, as a, you know, whatever, you know, at the local film house. You know, even some artsy-fartsy type of films I end up liking, or even...
Well, with some of my horror movies, it's just like, stop being so dumb. But then I get to the point where it's already controlled area, and they gotta force the character to do
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Because it's a horror movie. If they bring in logic, it's not a horror movie no more. But it's just like, okay.
Yeah, some things make you still scream a little bit, like, why?
Well, it don't make me scream why. It just be like, I would have threw her out the
window.
Yeah,
it gets you irritated.
You is an idiot. And whoever wrote this in them, I get more mad at the screenwriter than I do the actor sometimes.
I was just thinking, we could talk horror movies a little bit longer, but since we're still on video games, Silent Hill's one of them. Resident Evil, for me, was another one. But some scary games that I remember playing was Alone in the Dark. And
the PC version, or the
I was on PlayStation.
Alone in the Dark for the PC. Oh, that was my first
horror game.
First trek into horror games. Yeah,
yeah. I got to admit, mine was too a little bit. Actually, I think mine might have been the first, and then Silent Hill.
But I still think that the scariest moment for me in video games still video game wise, is still Resident Evil 2. And I think almost anyone who's played Resident Evil and you hear Resident Evil 2, I think we all share the same exact moment when we're chilling out in the police station and there's the two-way mirror and you go in there and you take the little chess piece you need and then you go out and then you have to go back in there and you're like, da-da-da-da-da, and the fucking liquor crashes through the window, and you jump 20 feet, you piss yourself, and you're like, damn, why am I playing this game with the lights out?
Oh, see, I didn't get really scared of Resident Evil 2.
Really?
I played it on the N64, and I beat the whole game.
Well, maybe that was why, because you played on N64.
Yeah, you played on N64.
Well, because it was better on N64.
Really?
Okay. Here we go. Hold on.
Wait, what? Okay, listeners.
The cinematics. How were the cinematics on 64?
Same as the PlayStation's.
Really?
Better. It was very...
64 could produce that?
Yep.
No.
Yes, it can.
No.
What?
Yep.
No.
Hold on 1 second, because I had a Metal Gear Solid... exclamation mark come out of you and John at the same time when I said it. Y'all like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if anyone play Metal Gear Solid. For me, it's Ghosts and Goblins for the NES. I wasn't scared, even though that game was hard. That was kind of one of the first horror games to actually play, even though it was a platform game. You know, everybody knows that, of course, the PlayStation was known for horror games. PlayStation 2 and a little bit of the Dreamcast, the Saturn, was home
Typing
for a lot of
the
horror
dead.
Games.
Typing of the Dead for the Dreamcast.
Oh,
that was interesting. Sorry.
Well, House of the Dead 2 was good.
I
was telling Justin about House of the Dead Overkill. I got to bring that over for him to play. So
is that the Wii thing that you were talking about?
Yes, I still got to bring that over, and you're just going to be like, what the world is this game? And you could just straight laugh at it because it's bonkers. For me, actually starting to the survival horror genre will be Resident Evil 1.
Okay.
And then, like I said, I went to Silent Hill. I played Resident Evil 3 Nemesis on the Dreamcast.
That's what I'm talking about. A system I can agree with you with.
I played D... on PlayStation 1.
A system ahead of its time as well.
Kenji Eno, I think, who passed away, he was kind of one of the masters of horror games. He made D and D2.
Okay.
He made a game called, it was Silent Something, I forgot. And you only had this ray gun. So you had to move around this spooky ship and you had to listen to the sounds. And you had to charge up your beam. If you wasn't in the right direction, if you didn't kill the monster killed you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, that was the game. I think also it had a save state where every time you save, the battery of the ship would go down. So when the battery was, if you saved too much and the battery was gone, you can save no more in the whole game.
Wow.
Rule of Rose was a crazy one. If oneup.com is still up, you guys could go there and check out Retronauts Halloween Edition. They talk about all the survival horror games, and they talk about Rule of Rose, where enemies would come after you, and if they got you, it would go fade to black and they would kill you, or like one of the people said, something like rape. So like a burning grandpa is chasing you, and if he gets you, he's gonna rape you and stuff like that. It's real funny.
I think a good episode, maybe we'll see what next week turns out to be then, but a good episode would be us talking about some of these survival horror games and maybe some of the movies that go along.
That would be a good episode for Ed to have us on his show.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I have to get that all together. I still got to get
that
the plugins.
That actually would be, yeah, thank you. That's a good idea.
So to have you guys talk about horror game video games on the podcast.
Then what is the Critical Hit Anomalous going to talk about?
Whatever stories Ed wants to go through the list on.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, our reviews of each episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Gotham and... That's it. No, we gotta think about some stuff for this month at least. You know, it's obviously movies, of course. Maybe I'll figure something out. But yeah, I like to do a
Speaking of which, Halloween related, October 25th is free comic book or Halloween Comic Fest.
Cool.
Where if you go to your local comic store on October 25th, there will be Halloween themed comic books, and there will be a reissue of Batman: The Long Halloween issue number one.
Ooh, I need to be there to get that.
And the Death of Archie. Which was actually a really interesting and good read, by the way.
The Long Halloween's good.
And they never explain who killed him, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Long Halloween's good, but I think they could have, they should add in, or they should try next year or something like that. Batman versus Dracula. That's a great one. And then he becomes a vampire. Yeah.
But I just want to make sure that, because we did win stuff from Halloween Comic Fest.
Yes, we did.
We did win our Slimer.
Wonderful Slimer over there.
Make sure you check out your local comic book store.
John and I were featured on the website as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ziggy, sit down.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. He probably wants to go out right now anyways. Okay. But yeah, check out the local stores for that, because that's going to be nice. And we can also do that too. Some horror trades. You know, I got a couple stories that we can bring up, you know, that I liked. That Dracula Batman one is good.
Anything special you're going to be doing for the month of Halloween for LCGH Presents?
Oh, yes. Thank you for that reminder. Yes, we'll be doing, bringing back LCGH Presents, which I think I'm just calling it LCGH Podcast once I finalize everything here, which is in the next couple of days, to be honest with you. And, we're going to be going over some of the history with LCGH, the past investigations that we've done, and just overall some of the adventures. So, the idea is, for the most part, it's going to be the adventure, some of the places that we've been to locally here. So my plan is to have a little bit of a history lesson involved, and then we'll talk about, you know, things that we heard about the site over the years and what we experienced when we went. So tune into that. We were going to do it this Sunday, but it did not work out well. And there's some ideas to do the show live during the week as well. There's been a lot of talks of, you know, turning things during the week, but we'll see how it turns out. Other than that, you will be noted. We'll be able to find the episode whenever it comes out. So
you know what else might be cool? A live investigation.
Which, no, it wouldn't be cool if you watched live investigation.
Well, I don't know.
No, I mean, you don't know what you're talking about.
I know damn well what I'm talking about.
No, but there is actually for a... I really shouldn't advertise it, but in the next
two weeks.
Well, no, I mean, it goes along with LCGH. We're not really advertising. Anyways, there's a
and
small group.
Going out with Z-Talk.
There's a small group of us that are going out to a local cemetery that we actually had to boat to kind of to get to it. So
that's really interesting.
I'll be able to talk about that on LCGH as well.
Well, that's what I meant. Like, not like a live.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe like do like a. You know, because I know you haven't investigated in a while either.
Yeah, years actually. It's been a couple of years.
So you know, like if you would just let us know how that goes.
Yeah, no. Thank you for reminding me about that, because I totally slipped my mind, because I haven't done it in a while. I haven't really done a paranormal show, you know, kind of like, you know, the way I used to do them, when it was about the group and, you know, we talked about the stories and things like that we did. So it's going to be fun. A lot of people, when I've already mentioned it on the old Facebooks and everything, really want to get in on it. So I'll actually have people that were part of my group, and they're going to come on and talk about these things. So we're going to talk about the first time I went to Bachelor's Grove, which was
fun.
Interesting. We're going to talk about St. Pat's Cemetery. The Sunnybrook Asylum, which was located near Round Lake, but they consider it Loon Lake, really, the area that it's in, and give a little history on those things too, which some people probably didn't even know about things about that particular Sunnybrook Asylum at all. So it's gonna be kind of cool to get to that, and we're gonna probably do it as an hour. I'm just going to start it off as an hour, but if it goes over, then we'll do it. But we'll just try to squeeze everything into an hour. You know, there's not much to, like, discuss after a while anyway, so there really shouldn't be, like, a two-hour show about it. But if it does, it will. But for the most part, it'll be an hour of us kind of discussing that. And then...
any Halloween-themed things for optional opinion at all, or...?
For this month, the movie I am talking about... I could do one about special, like, horror games. But I'm still getting, like, some of the idea episodes for this month. So tune in and wait for some of the announcements that I'm doing. It might be Halloween themed for some of them. Even though I'm not scared about Halloween games or mm-hmm. things like that, but I might do like
do you get nightmares.
I might do something like Halloween or scary things in different video games. So anyone who played like Final Fantasy 3/6 when you fought the ghost train.
Oh yeah, there we go.
So I might talk about something like that, or I might talk a little bit about Splatterhouse. Okay. Give a little history about that, and then talk about how I really want to investigate Splatterhouse, the next gen versions.
Okay,
the development and the trouble that they have with that. So I might talk about a little bit about that. But there's more. There's gonna be some Halloween things, and then different stories.
You know that.
Coming out.
Well, games that should never have been made.
There is a Splatterhouse, although I know there's a new versions for Xbox and now for right. the new Xbox and everything. What was the game? I think it was Rockstar, but it got some big flack because it was supposed to be like a reality show that you go and you beat people. It was like
Splatterhouse?
It was like Splatterhouse, but...
Or was it Slaughterhouse? It was something.
Manhunt. Thank you.
Yeah. So Manhunt for PS1, was kind of like almost like a little bit not like a snuff film,
yeah,
but it kind of resembled a little bit like that. So when part 2 came out, they was gonna make it exclusively for Wii U. For the Wii,
which is
but
weird.
because some of the stuff that they depicted, they just read it straight AO. So they had to edit the game. So they had to make it in black and white and cut out some camera things. And the game got rated real poorly. And
of course.
But it actually got leaked on PC.
Got a sequel, too.
Yeah, that's Manhunt 2. That's the one that right. came out for Wii. But it leaked on the PC with it, everything being unedited.
So, yeah, they did a little PC magic and yeah. bam. No.
But Manhunt is kind of...
I want to get that now, Manhunt.
It came out for PlayStation 2. It was really a niche game. You could probably see a playthrough of it on... But it was mostly like a stealth game.
No, it was. You had to come up behind them. Different moves happened.
Right. And so they're yeah. videotaping everything. And yep. they're treating it like a reality show.
It's a reality show. The more you kill, yeah. the more... And I think you're supposed to do it or you die. I mean, that's really right. what it... Kind of like... I wanted to say The Running Man, but that's probably not what it's really referring to. But
and it got good reviews. The problem with Manhunt for me is that I just never seen it in stores, mm-hmm. and I don't think highly favor of Rockstar.
Well, it was almost banned, if I remember correctly.
No, it was never banned.
It wasn't.
Two was
okay.
Two had the problems.
That's
because
right.
of it being re-motion. Because you're doing the actions almost like it. Everybody
that's
thought
right.
it would. They rated it AO, and it had the problems. And of course, AO games can't be on consoles, which is going to be a topic that I will be addressing soon. That one is going to be very interesting, so tune in for that one. But because they did editing, like I said, they did some editing magic and stuff like that, it was able to come out, and it got like a 4 on 1UP when it came out. It got really like poor ratings. If anyone has read like though Aliens Isolation though, it got like big review. I mean, it's getting mediocre reviews, and since that came out Tuesday, everybody thought it was going to be a real scary game, mm-hmm. and it's not.
Well, I won't be able to get it, but I want to try it because I've heard the hype. You know,
yeah. I know the Evil Within is supposed to be coming out. That's one from Shinji Mikami, Resident Evil. Also,
what's that about?
The Evil Within. It's about a game that really better be promising because the previews of it just makes it seem.
Well, what's the preview say about
it's,
it?
It's they said the game plays horribly. Like it's not scary. The controls. For
it's a horror game.
It's a horror game.
Okay.
So
of course, just, Evil Within, right?
So yeah. So it's this man. He's entering this castle or this house, and just weird evil stuff happens that he has to try to solve it and things like
that. Does he turn into a walrus?
No, he does not.
I am the walrus.
So, I mean, you can look it up. They got the trailer and stuff on it, and everybody haven't have high hopes for it. But if you read some of the previews that some of these journalists played at, like, PAX and Gamescom and stuff like that, even E3, they just said, This needs to be thrown in the trash or redone.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they're just saying it's not scary. So hopefully when the reviews come out for the game that it really, you know, they really redeem themselves. Because they, like I said, a lot of people want horror games.
Yeah.
And because of, like I said, what Konami has done with the Silent Hill series and what Capcom has done with, pretty much what Capcom has done with any series.
Mm-hmm.
The Evil Within, they hoping there's a new hope.
Oh, yeah, we also have, I wanted to say Crimson Butterfly, but it's Fatal Frame. They're making a new game, which apparently has like a bunch of adaptions overseas, of course, but we're finally getting
it. It's already out.
Yeah, so we're already getting a new one. And
we're not getting a new one.
We are not getting it.
We don't know yet. They say that it's only Japan and only Seoul.
And that's what we mean by we, the market-wise, national market.
Because this
thank you, John, for that insight.
Because this is a story. Nintendo owns, I think, 35% of it now. Because it's it used to be a big game on the PlayStation 2.
Yes.
But Nintendo ended up getting an exclusive for the game. So,
which is weird. I don't understand how they got that.
It's Fatal Frame, the Black Hair Maiden, something like that. It only sold about 30,000 copies in Japan. I think because they had to go up against Hyrule Warriors also, and we had to go against Smash, because Smash did 2.1 million. In the game. You can see the trailers for it, and everybody here in America wants it.
Wow.
I want it. I looked at it.
You mean the new one, not the Black Maiden or whatever, right?
Yeah, the Black Maiden. That is the new one.
Oh, black one. Okay.
Yeah. And every Nintendo fan and other people who don't even own the Wii U, which is like, they need to bring this game to America. But because it's big and popular in Japan, I don't know why.
It was a scary game. It really was. I was playing the first one, and then I watched my friend play the next installment, which eventually was a redo of the Crimson Butterfly. And then they did Crimson Butterfly 2, and I think we had a Crimson Butterfly on there. I don't remember, but there was like three different versions of that game. And then apparently Japan has like other installments
right.
under a different name or whatever than what we're getting it as.
Well, it's still yeah.
Is
it's
it Fatal Frame or something?
It's still Fatal Frame. Okay. Nintendo published it while Tecmo Koei still develops it. It's just that I think because it wasn't doing so good on other platforms, I think Nintendo Japan stepped in and purchased part of it, and they have them develop it.
Really, really cool concept.
Anyone who owns the 3DS, you can probably pick up on a cheap Spirit Camera. That's a spinoff of the Fatal Frame games.
And what do you do in that game?
You still do the same thing as Fatal Frame, but I think it's just a different storyline or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's not to the whole thing, which is the story is loosely based off an actual event that happened. And it's kind of creepy, but the religion that they believe in over there, because it's like all split up. It's like Buddhist, Christian, there's all sorts of different beliefs. But there's this one it was initially a good belief system. I forgot the name of it, and if you look up Fatal Frame, they'll go through the whole history of it. But what happened was is that they were worshiping, and they believe in like demons, but they believe in demons as we believe in ghosts. Demons are like ghosts, so each thing has a demon, like the forest demon, the demon of wealth, you know, there's all these different things. A good demon, bad demon, it's not necessarily, it's not black and white, it's pretty much, you know, all in between.
I think that's why they have some of the festivals.
Mm-hmm. Correct, they have a lot of different festivals for different things, but what happened was is that this particular sect of this belief system was doing a ceremony to try to banish all evil, and it went wrong. And it was supposed to be sent into kind of like what the movie The Grudge was about. You know, if you remember, the girl was taking in, she was a spirit eater, so she was taking in all the negative stuff. So they would like basically put all the negative stuff in a sacrifice, like whatever the young girls are. Mm-hmm. And it went bad, so this demon or whatever negatives kind of opened a hole up,
and, you know, released all these demons. So apparently what the story's based off was some slaughter happened, and they blame it off the demon or the negative spirits that came from that ritual. Mm-hmm. And then Fatal Frame came in years. It apparently happened, I think, in the 80s or something like that, too.
I would have to probably research it.
Yeah, there's the story in itself is once again, the way they explain it, it could be any story. They have really no true origins to the actual origins of that story.
With the Fatal Frame game, I think it actually started on the Super Nintendo. But in Japan, it was called Super Famicom. So it has already its place of origin in Japan.
Interesting.
And I think it didn't start coming over here until almost the PlayStation 1. So you can see how Nintendo's kind of involved with it. Mm-hmm. Which is weird that Nintendo got like the first one, I think, for Super Nintendo. And then some of the iterations it didn't get. But Nintendo ended up paying to get that thing. Which goes on to Bayonetta 2, which comes out October 24th. This year, they explained to reason why Bayonetta 2 is exclusively on Wii U is that no publisher will pick it up. Yeah, Sega will help them, but Sega already has its financial problems. Mm-hmm. So Nintendo came in and rescued the game, and now that's why it's exclusively coming to Wii U. And Kamiya, who is the director Platinum Games and who created the Bayonetta series, states that if you want the game to come to other systems, you gotta ask Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he put it out there. No other publisher would pick it up. And because Nintendo, who everybody think is gonna be doing, it should be third party, of course that's just really ridiculous. In fact, Nintendo makes more money than any other company in this whole video game industry.
Well, one, they spanned 100 years. Nintendo in itself has games is like a 100-year-old company.
Which I just found out that I think they still got Love Hotels in Japan. I'm like, wait, Nintendo
owns Love Hotels?
Yes.
Would be interesting to see what that turns into.
They have one, I think.
But yeah, I mean, we're talking about a company that spanned 100 years who almost initiated the modern day gamer, really, when it came out with I want to call it ColecoVision, but it's its own thing. But when Nintendo came out with their platformer,
it was against
Mr. Game and Watch. Was it Mr. Game and Watch?
Yeah, Mr. Game and Watch.
Yeah, thank you. And then eventually, they were doing card games and stuff like that already. Yeah. But then they did the Game and Watch, and then it turned into the system, which was Famicom before.
Famicom. Yeah.
So it wasn't even the Nintendo as we know
which,
it either.
Which a lot of people realize that you know,
they have a local market as well that's very huge with their own stuff. So
the thing about and not to get off topic or anything like that, when it comes to Nintendo and video games, you have to think about Nintendo games sell year round. Yep. It could be 2 years after the game came out and it could almost sell a million. Where something like Watch Dogs or even Madden or even Destiny, and I'm sorry, Ja, Destiny made its money within its time being. And it probably won't make no more money until Christmas time, so people ask for it. But because of Destiny's having its problems and, you know, its promises stuff, you know, it won't sell after a year or after 3 months has passed. Where something like Pokemon X and Y is still selling.
Mario, I'm playing Leaf Green right now.
Kirby Epic Yarn, even though people think it's
that's
a baby
like 10
game,
years old.
Is no, Kirby came out.
No, Leaf Green. I was thinking of Leaf Green.
Oh, Leaf Green. Yeah, Kirby games still sell more, even on the DS or 3DS or whatever platform it is. Kirby would still sell more than anything that Rockstar have did with Grand Theft Auto 5.
That surprises me a little bit. Yeah, seriously.
New Mario Brothers Wii, which is still a top seller, is still selling on the Wii. Now, yeah, that might speak something about the Wii U that people don't have.
John's heavy sigh. But, are you done, Ed?
But it's just because, again, this stuff sells, Ed, because Nintendo doesn't have third-party support.
But the thing about it is that even though they don't have third-party support, that says something more about third-party than Nintendo. If your game cannot outbeat Nintendo's a first party, even though you got the hype
outbeat,
and you got the
bring me numbers, Ed. bring me numbers about how, like you said, Nintendo's games outsell anything by Rockstar. So Grand Theft Auto 4, that's still making money. Grand Theft Auto 5,
Grand Theft Auto 4 went $20. Grand Theft Auto only made its money because off of hype. The game has not sold past October. Grand Theft Auto 5. Even Grand Theft Auto 4 didn't sell past.
And then Grand Theft Auto okay. 5 getting the
Smash
next-gen re-release.
Smash Brothers Brawl.
Oh, Smash Brothers Brawl. Smash Brothers Brawl. Brawl. It's not really recognized in the tournaments.
And that's fine. And that's fine.
To agree with you, Ed. To agree with you,
can
Ed.
Can I tell you
you're
right?
You're talking about GameCube. You're talking about Smash Brothers.
Can I tell you something?
I'm almost choking on my vape pen listening to you guys
can I
right
tell
now.
You that Smash Brothers for Wii is still outselling Grand Theft Auto 5? Yeah, it might not. Smash Brothers for Wii U, everybody wants. That's the hotness.
It's actually blowing up my newsfeed.
That's Smash the Brothers. Hotness that everybody wants. When that's that game comes out, let's see how good it does against Destiny. I'm not saying Destiny is a bad game. I feel like Destiny let a lot of people down. And I feel like because of Bungie saying that we're going to dedicate 10 years to this game, which is fine and good, I feel like they're gypping people with the package that they gave them.
Wait, 10 years as in like downloadable content?
Got content and everything. Or supporting,
again,
supporting
still,
the game.
You're still but again, you're comparing a game to that. You're comparing Destiny.
I'm using Destiny as an example. I'm using it as an example versus anything, you know, versus Nintendo, where black and white for the DS is still selling. Super Mario Brothers DS is still selling. It's just what I'm just saying is that with third party, you get a hot game out and it sells for a short amount of time. You got your sales in the two beginning weeks, but your game all going to end up at GameStop real quick.
Call of Duty's a good example, actually. Call of Duty.
I don't play the generic first person shooters.
That's true. You're right.
I don't play Call of Duties. I don't play Battlefields.
They delayed
because
they went
to Madden's.
Which is funny with Battlefield being not being on Wii U, that Battlefield 4 came out and was a big disaster. So that's why they did.
I own three, which
was a disaster too.
No, I love Battlefield.
Was also, but your Pokemon games again. I'm not bad Pokemon.
Yeah,
but
no. I just want to say real quick, Battlefield overall, I really, as someone who got into first person shooters in the last 6 years. Battlefield 3 surpasses Call of Duty.
Oh yeah, I agree with. I do want to play.
I miss playing Battlefield 3 actually, even though you're about to play a 45-minute multiplayer game.
Speaking of Battlefield, as of October 1st on Xbox, Battlefield Bad Company 2 is the free games with gold.
Awesome! So
yeah, they said that one is really good.
What month is that again? What was it
for this month?
Between now and the 16th, you can get it for free.
Dude, my subscription just went out, so I got to pay my $10 so I can get my monthly Xbox subscription just so I can download that. Seriously, I want to get that at least.
I think I need to buy you that card for Christmas.
Well, I'm gonna probably do it next week so I can get the game.
but I think what I'm saying is that because of third party games being a hotness for 2 weeks, I mean for 2 months plus, Nintendo games sell over time. A lot of first party on Sony or even Microsoft don't even sell past their first initial. The Last of Us that was really like that got Game of the Year versus Super Mario 3D World. And even, 3D World should be selling more because it's a really, really good game. The Last of Us, I think it sold and then it haven't been past it. Because I feel like The Last of Us is more for adult gamers.
Right.
No.
Well, and that's the thing too. Is you look at Nintendo. Nintendo's also look at their demographic. You know, it's more geared towards kids, but also nostalgia. Okay, everybody. I mean, you know, you still tell your grandma you want a video game, and she's like, "You want something for that Nintendo?"
Yeah,
you know,
that's true too.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Even I think even teenagers and adult gamers are kind of getting bored of third party games. They're very selective of them. because the reason why I say that is because I think I kind of address this on optional opinion about people's libraries. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a gamer of a certain genre, your game library should be big, whether it's Nintendo, Sony, or Microsoft.
Right.
And I feel like it's not a lot of people whose gaming library is good. If your third-party game is really hot, that should stay in your library. There's no way that 45,000 copies of the hot game should be at GameStop within a month and a half.
That's true, too. I'm a gamer who has a certain genre. I'm usually horror, first-person shooter,
right,
and comic books. So.
And for me personally, I'll play everything. I would get my tail kicked in a strategy game because I don't play strategy.
Well, yeah.
But I would love to enjoy it.
But I'm in that demographic that is the niche where it's like I'm picking up comic book games. How many comic book games actually exist out there? How about zombie games? I'm a big zombie game player.
There's tons of zombie games.
There's tons of them. Or downloadable packs. Or actually just decent ones, you know.
Zombies are just too many.
That's the hot thing. Yeah, it's been around for 10 plus years now since Dawn of the Dead remake.
And with comic book games, the first thing that comes to mind is going to be Batman Arkham Asylum or Arkham City.
It's true.
Yeah, they're done right.
Yeah.
Because, exactly, they're the only ones that really done right. When is anything else?
Oh,
like,
no. X-Men Legends or Ultimate Alliance, I thought was a really good comic book game.
Well, yeah, but when it comes to X-Men, everybody's going to say the Konami arcade beat them up.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I have that on my 360.
But I still think X-Men Legends, especially X-Men Legends 2, really holds up as a good comic book game, good X-Men game, and a good role-playing game
as
well.
And City of Heroes was good.
I have not played that. So.
I haven't played it neither, but I heard that one was pretty good, too. But,
No More Heroes was pretty good on the Wii.
What was it?
See, More Heroes.
Look at that, Ed. I can make a Nintendo reference, too.
Which actually, No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2, which actually sold well.
Yeah.
I do own Shadow of the Dam, but I gotta finish that. but I think just like with third party not being, if you look at E3 this year, Nintendo stole it. Nintendo was the hotness for E3. Sony put everybody to sleep. Microsoft was interesting because they had a lot to prove. Everybody was just like, they watched that E3 digital presentation.
I don't know. You're the only person I've heard who's been ranting about Nintendo's E3.
Dude, seeing Iwata and Reggie Fils-Aimé.
It started off good with the robot chicken thing, and then it went downhill from there.
Look, seeing Reggie Fils-Aimé and Iwata being up each other, that was funny, but that was really spot on. That one was really good. And then with it going on The Legend of Zelda, a lot of people interested in Yoshi's, not Epic Yarn, the new Yoshi game. People still want Captain Toad, Treasure Tractors. Everybody's looking forward to that. You know, Nintendo got its shine at E3, and everybody had been talking about it. A lot of podcasts have been talking about it. And it's just like, when you see like Microsoft and Sony and even Ubisoft and E3, you would think that they were branded games. And yeah, they did bring some games, but majority of it was trailers. Nothing was like actually gameplay.
Well, E3 is also, unfortunately, E3 isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, that is. But, and you know what? Everybody has. I think some people have got, a lot of journalists have got to the point where, I know Chris Kohler, he spoke on Game Life on his podcast. He was just like, everything I think for E3, for the conferences, kind of need to go the Nintendo route, just showing the digital presentation.
Right.
Because they were just like, coming to these shows, hearing forced clap and hype for a game that y'all just showed a trailer for doesn't even compare to what Nintendo does, where I could wake up, I could sit in my pajamas, eat some breakfast cereals, and watch this online and be done with it. And then report. And then go to the conference thing again and do it.
But you're going into this, like, you know, talking this E3 also. I mean, look, Microsoft screwed themselves last year when it was Call of Duty Sports. All right, and then Sony, you know, they were off their hype of, this is how you trade a game.
you know, and we used Ruddyman the first off the gate. And again, we're still all stuck in the same thing. We just want games. We want to see games. We don't want to see trailers for the games. And right now, so...
And that's, you know, I think that's the problem with E3 for Sony and Microsoft and all some of the third parties that's there. Stop showing the trailers and give us actual gameplay.
Well, like, because E3, they also started that new rules where it's, like, there's not as many people on the floor. So they don't, so that's all they can do is really just show the... You know, like Comic-Con now is where you actually, ironically enough, get a lot of the gameplay footage. Or the, you know, hands-on.
Right. And see, Nintendo does a good job bringing, like, look, Comic-Con is going to be there, PAX, whatever it is, we showing up with these games because we want people not only to enjoy their comics, but we want you to get your hands on. And when you do, get your swag on, too. Here's some swag. I would love to go to PAX or Comic-Con with you guys or the next comic adventure y'all go to. I really want to go.
Well, we do have TFCon coming up, which is Transformers Con, and that's coming up in actually at November, if I'm correct. It should be coming up in November. So that's
what days are those?
I'm going to have to find out. Brandy Dixon is going to be there, so we'll be able to.
Is she still going?
As far as I understand, everything should be going good for that.
Are you going, John?
Not to Transformers Con, no.
I might try to make it.
I'm not a big I mean, I have my set, you know, my childhood was it, but I'm not that into Transformers.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't mind going just to check it out, but and show Brandy some love too.
Yeah, and see, I haven't been to any kind of conventions like that, and I kind of do want to go.
I mean, unless I can get a press pass.
When we can work something like that out. But we'll see. Other than that, yeah, that's all I know up until next year, which is, you know.
But thank you, Ja, and thank you, Justin, for that video game talk. Because I haven't did optional opinion in a while due to technical reasons.
I think Justin was got a little worried that we were going to like go to blows or something.
Oh,
there.
No. But you know what? That's why I say I welcome your opinion. Thank you for welcoming mine. And I actually agree with you on a lot of things. A lot of things that that you said I agree with.
Oh, these kids here. So, anyways, let's...
What's our video game?
Yeah. Let's I guess, give some final thoughts on anything and close out this show tonight.
You guys can check me on Optional Opinions on Mondays at 11 p.m. and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. I will be back tomorrow with a special episode. Not actually a mini-sode where I'll be talking about the Maze Runner and... this is where I leave you. I'll be giving my reviews on those two movies. One was average, and one was kind of movie of the year for me. It's really up there. And then Wednesday, I will get to the discussion, making something out of nothing. And if anyone who knows about the Gamergate issue, I'm really not trying to go there, but... there's just some things that us as gamers and even developers or even journalists and stuff making big deals of stuff that really is not a big deal. We create the issue out of nothing or something.
You
so
mean
small.
Like EA being the worst company ever?
Have you seen Sims 4?
Yes, I have.
Pretty much. So that's this week, you guys can join me with that. And like I said, next Monday, I'll be doing the commentary for Silent Hill Revelations.
Cool.
Check that out.
There you go. You can catch me, CrazyJ82, on the Twitters.
Oh, and you can catch me.
Yeah,
on
there you go.
You guys can check me on Facebook at Edward Varnell, or you guys can check me out at That Retro Code at Twitter.
The Twitters. Find me on the Twitters, and you can find me also on Facebook. And the other Twitter account, LCGH, that's a pretty simple one to go ahead, and that's my paranormal account, which will be up to date, give you up to date to the LCGH show that I'll be doing this month, as well as any other, you know, show updates, even with the Alumnus Think Tank and some other stuff. So you can keep up to date with that. Other than that, that's really all the updates I need this month. John, go ahead.
You can find me on the Twitters at Darth Cubby. You can also join my clan on Bungie.net for Destiny.
Ooh.
It's called Epic Minute Men's with a Z. Because, you know, that's what us cool gamers do now. We put Z's at the end of everything.
Right.
Dak, go ahead and throw out your handos.
Dak. Found a Twitter at Nomads Wandering.
At the Nomads Wandering.
No, just at Nomads Wandering.
There you go. Which it's much easier for us, too, on the Twitters to get a hold of each other and share things. So please, find us on the Twitters. And you can find a Critical Hit Anonymous at the Facebook, as well as Teacha. Oh, I'm sorry, Teacha. The Critical Ha on the Twitters. And, oh, yeah. And you can find us also on Google+. But we don't do much there.
And After Opinion will be coming with the Twitter and with the Facebook page.
Beautiful.
I'm actually, hopefully I could do pictures this week and okay. To get it done.
Yeah, well, we should be doing some new stuff with the sites too, and hopefully a new network logo will come up and some other things. But
and Dak, if I could get the sound system working, we'll probably be starting Fan Filmology soon.
Actually, I wanted to ask, are you going to do your new tomorrow show with your mixer and all that?
Yeah, I will be doing it with the mixer, but
awesome.
I won't be doing the Skype part just yet until I
figure out.
But yeah, I got all of that set up. Do that tonight and be ready to go.
Cool. So check back with us during the week. Follow us at the AnonymousRadioNetwork.net. And, of course, follow our shows, Critical Anonymous and Optional Opinion. And we'll be hearing and seeing and something like that from you guys soon. Good night. Thanks for joining. And thanks for the couple of listeners that popped in throughout the show tonight. I want to thank you all for stopping by. So good night, and we're going to play it out with This Is Halloween, the Marilyn Manson mix. So enjoy that, people. And, of course, we got advertisements right when I'm about to play it. Here comes the advertising that pops up.
Well, if you had the album, that wouldn't be a problem.
That's true, too, Mr. Coolio.
Come with us and you will see this our town of Halloween.
classic. One of my favorites. Spooky. Good night, everyone.
Peace and chicken grease.